about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment right now.
Yeah, we'll take a quick moment and then we'll move on.
No, let's take a full moment.
In silence, or can we?
Moment's usually silent, so a moment starts when you shut up.
And do we close our eyes?
I don't think you need to. It's not really a prayer. Okay. It's more a moment.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad Boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I have some information that you can choose to use or not use. Up to you. Ron Burgundy will read anything that is put on that teleprompter. And when I say anything, I mean
. 20 questions with Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Can we have your extra hoss?
Hose. That's hose.
Hose. Oh, hose?
Hose, yeah. Can we have your extra
hoss? You forgot
hose?
The E. Yeah. H-O-E-S.
There you go.
That's what I was reading. I thought, what does it mean, hoss?
I think Kevin needs to pre-read the questions.
It's H-O-S.
And now.
But at our price level, he is still the best in the business.
Our feature presentation.
Thank you, ma'am.
It's H-O-S.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. Bede's right. Maybe a pre-read would not hurt me. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bede Show. It's Tuesday. It is the 21st of April.
Chip, how'd your Ducks do?
So good.
And Kevin, the Kings play last night?
Wow.
You can die.
That's, I'm taking that as a no. Yeah.
You can die twice.
Okay. Chip, did any of the Ducks get arrested for cocaine possession last night?
Nope.
Oh. Wow, it's a tale of two cities.
Oh, f*** you.
Hey, got a big Kevin Amin Show plan for you today, but let me start with Molly Shiler, who is in the news. I was not familiar with her, but apparently she is one of the world's greatest competitive eaters. Man, does anything sound worse than being one of these guys?
Mm-mm. Not really, no.
And she's done it all. She's got a bunch of records. She, you know, she ate 5 pounds of bacon in 5 minutes. She's that ilk. She's 120 pounds. She's a mother of four. I believe she's a waitress, I want to say.
Four, can you imagine?
Yes, 120 pounds,
saw
mother of four.
Saw your mom this weekend. She could really put away the hot dogs.
Sure put a lot of meat in her mouth. She is a waitress, I want to say, at an Applebee's in Sacramento, I want to say. But she was in Amarillo, Texas over the weekend. And she did something that has never been done. There's a restaurant there that's quite famous. In fact, I think it was actually in a movie one time. It's called The Big Texan, and they've got this deal where they have a 72-ounce steak, and it's if you eat it in an hour, you get it for free. Have you guys heard about something like that?
I've heard of those types of things, yeah.
72-ounce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a body.
Yes, that's like over 4 pounds of meat, I think, isn't it, or close to it.
Anyways, you said, what did she weigh, 125?
120.
Wow.
Yeah. You have to eat the 72-ounce steak and the sides, and you get it for free. It includes a baked potato, a shrimp cocktail, a salad, and a roll. The reason she's in the news, though, is because she did that in an eating competition, except she did it a little bit differently.
A nationally known competitive eater showed off her skills today at the Big Texan, but not just to take on one steak challenge. Molly Schuyler tried to eat three. That means 216 ounces of steak, which is more than 13 pounds, and all the fixins within an hour.
Okay, so she ate three of those 72-ounce plus sides steak dinners in an hour.
With all the fixins.
Yeah.
Oh, can you
imagine?
The meat sweats?
I can't imagine, you know, eating that once in a day.
Right. Right. She was in a competition with teams of people, partners. She was going up against people who were eating in tandem. So they would split one meal. She would eat all of it. And she still won. And she still did it in record time. I believe this is her.
But get this. Not only did she break the record, she ate all three meals in less than a half hour. A sight to see that attracted hundreds to the Big Texan from all over the country.
Right. She had an hour, by the way. She did it in less than 30 minutes. Oh, she ate those. All right. Now the interview with the delightful young lady.
I come in thinking I'm going to fail, but you know, if I win, it's a lovely parting gift. And it's like, hey, that's all right. That's cool. And I get free steak. So I don't really lose.
She sounds like she's on the crack.
She's got some energy.
Yeah, she sounds awfully fired up. Here's a little more from the report on the news in Houston.
I swear, she can take down
Skylar competed against four other competitive eating teams, which included professional wrestlers, football players, and a married competitive eating couple.
So, the representative from the Big Texan restaurant said, we've been doing this contest since 1960, and in all that time, we've never had anyone come in to actually eat that many steaks at one time. So this is a first for us after 55 years. It's a big deal. So that's what she did with her weekend. By the way, in case you're wondering, the grand prize besides all the free food is she got a $5,000 prize for doing it. So
I'm just focusing on the competitive eating married couple.
Yeah, that's quite a...
Wow, that's something.
Quite a team.
That's what they...
It's romantic.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I just can't. I mean, I'm ill thinking about eating one of these, and she ate three of them in less than 30 minutes.
Here's one of her kids.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
Dude, she's not at all. That's my whole thing. She's 120 pounds. You would never in a million years, you would never pick her out as being a competitive eater if you saw her. I mean, she looks like a normal thin person. It's just, I don't know what the metabolism is. I don't know how their plumbing works, why they're able to do something like that. But it's crazy to me.
Meth.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecher, shall we?
Kevin, I've had it.
Okay.
Uh-oh. You've lost, Rodney, you've lost the nation, Kevin.
I don't want him to have had it. we have what's up with Florida today.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to check in with Matt Money Smith about the playoffs.
Love money.
Clippers, Ducks, Tebow. Got to talk some Tebow.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Kim Kardashian's book is number one on the pre-order list for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Her book of pictures.
Selfies, yeah.
Selfies. So that's happening. We'll talk about that. Who are the people that are buying that is a fascinating question.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have John Cryer coming in studio.
Do we?
How about that?
Huh.
What a surprise for you, huh?
Yeah, didn't know.
Allie was tweeting yesterday, I don't know, your mom seems super confused. Do you have Kat's mom? What's going on? Your mom was very confused about him and his character.
My mother knows how much I love Pretty in Pink. My mother, I found out, loves Two and a Half Men. So her response was, honey, don't tell Alan how much you love Pretty in Pink. Like, well, his name is actually... John, but
she still thinks
he's Alan Harper.
Hmm.
She is darling.
So we'll talk to him. We'll talk to Alan today on the show about his book. And we've got
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean.
Yes.
So stick around for that. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:56.
Hey, look, it's Ralph Garman.
Woo!
And time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Woo! 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 Woo!
You guys don't seem nearly as excited as I am.
You don't seem excited either, really. That sounds a little fake.
How dare you?
Just a bit.
You know how I like to celebrate the death of the Red Baron?
Excuse me?
Today's the anniversary of the death of the Red Baron.
This was the real-life German fighter pilot?
Baron Manfred von Richthofen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your celebrations are legendary.
Oh. Tonight we're going to go off. We're going to get some schnapps, pretend to shoot each other down. We're going to go off.
All right.
On Red Baron Day, he was killed back in 1918 on this date.
By Snoopy, right?
Snoopy the dog shot him down from the top of his doghouse.
I think I remember that episode.
That was his Sopwith Camel. How'd you guys doing? How's everybody doing? Did you miss me yesterday?
We're good. We did.
Totally.
Missed you guys.
Very much.
Missed you guys. Thought of you. Often.
In a good way? Or
yes.
Okay.
Of course in a good way. Right. Now, let's get to some show business news. Bobby Christina Brown is not awake, despite what her father, Bobby Brown, says.
Well, why would he do that?
Because he's a dope.
Well... I know, but...
In concert over the weekend, he implied that she was awake. The Houston family has said that she's in exactly the same condition she was when she went into rehab facility some weeks ago. There's always been some minimal reaction to Bobby Christina, occasional eye blink, but that's it. She remains on a ventilator. No status change in her condition.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
He should just shut up, right?
Yes.
Right. And stop performing. Because he gets winded. Did he even get windy? Did you see that video? No. Did you see the video we got back together again with, I don't know, what the F, Boys to Men? What band was he
New
in?
Edition.
New Edition. New Edition, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did
they're
see that.
Like, boop, 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 and they're all rocking. He's like,
yeah.
Just grabs his knees, just, oh. I got
to try to catch his breath.
I take a break. You guys are dancing, no, spinning. I just can't.
Like halfway into a song.
I'm going to go sit down over here in the wings. He walks off stage. Fat bastard.
Who's going to see him? I was thinking this last night. Like, how many people are in the audience when he says that, and why are they there?
I don't know. I'm guessing Allie.
Could be. Did love New Edition.
That's what I'm guessing, yeah.
Candy Girl?
You need a place in New York?
No.
Would you like one?
Sure.
Okay, how about Central Park West? That's a good location, right?
Sounds great, yes.
Demi Moore is selling her apartment on Central Park West. If you're looking for a place in New York City while you're on that coast, this might be the perfect place for you.
70 grand?
It's a triplex.
90 grand?
So it's got the 26th, 27th, and 28th floors of one building there on Central Park
100
West.
100 grand?
100 grand? Yeah, well, more or less. It's currently, price tag's got on it is $75 million.
What?
$75 million for an apartment.
That's insane.
$75 million. That can't be right.
Wow.
Yeah. She bought it apparently from Robert Stigwood. You may remember the name. He was the guy who produced all the Bee Gees hits. He also produced Saturday Night Fever. He was a big deal back in the day. That was his apartment. She bought it at the time with her husband, Bruce Willis. But now she's getting ready to unload it for a mere 75 mil.
Wow. I hope John Cryer isn't up and listening, by the way. Remember, that was he dated her. They were boyfriend and girlfriend
for
a while.
That could have been half of that could have been his.
That's right.
And the Twitterverse exploded over the weekend. I don't know if you saw the first picture of baby Silas Timberlake or not.
I did not see that.
Yeah. Silas Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel's baby boy was dressed in a Memphis Grizzlies onesie. And the new parents are over the moon. The Timberlakes are ready. I don't know why they're Memphis Grizzly fans.
He's from there.
Is he in Memphis?
He's part owner, I think. Yeah.
He's part owner?
Hardcore for the Grizzlies. I think that's right, Allie.
Wow.
Thank you.
You come in handy sometimes there, Mac.
Every now and then. And by the way, her skin looked amazing in the picture. Jessica Biel. If you see the picture.
So you've seen the photo of Silas?
I have. I didn't even look at the baby. I just thought, her skin. I got to get me some baby in me. Because it does some good skin things. I'm going to stop talking.
He wanted to skin Jessica Biel and wear her like a
that got creepy
like
quick
flesh suit. That was all very strange.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about babies, Chris Brown posted a photo of his 9-month-old daughter on Instagram this weekend. Apparently, he loves how much his baby looks like him.
Sure,
God has blessed me with my twin. He wrote about his daughter.
Unbelievable!
His unplanned child with a girl he no longer sees, named Nia Brown, was the baby's mama. But his quote was, "God has blessed me with my twin." He says about his baby daughter because she looks like him. That's why he likes the child.
Hmm. If the child didn't look like him,
we had he would have no interest. The baby's name, by the way, the daughter's name. The name of Chris Brown's daughter, by the way, are you familiar?
It's Chris Brown.
No.
Oh, okay.
Are you familiar with his daughter's
name?
No,
I'm not.
Royalty is her name. Yeah, you heard
Royalty.
Me. You heard me. Royalty.
Wow.
It's no Your Majesty, but it's close. Royalty. Royalty Brown.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin's gal. I don't know if anybody likes Queen Elizabeth II more than Kevin.
I do love her.
She is 89 years old today.
I will have her.
Singer Iggy Pop is 68. Tony Danza, he's 64. Cure singer Robert Smith turns 56 years old today. Our buddy Rob Riggle is 45. James McAvoy, very talented actor, is 36 years old. And Robbie Amell, you know him?
He's not Steven.
No, he's not.
So what does Robbie do?
Robbie is Firestorm over there on Flash. He's the cousin of the Arrow. Very talented actor, 27 years old. He's dreamy. He's got great skin. I'd like to, I'd like to skin him and wear him as a suit. Just like Hollywood with Jessica Biel. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
Water saving tips.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
And it is 23 minutes after 6.
By the way, 5-minute showers, is anyone buying that?
No.
No, right?
No.
Yeah.
And no one's going, by the way, no one's going to that website either.
Barely get started in 5 minutes.
I mean, who's going to that website?
Hey, our friend Matt Money Smith is on the phone from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports. Matt, first of all, welcome to the show. Second of all, how about those Dodgers, huh?
How about those Dodgers? Yeah, playing up in San Francisco on a 7-game win streak. And after trading Matt Kemp and Hanley Ramirez away, well, letting Hanley Ramirez walk, the biggest and best offense in all the National League. Who would have guessed it?
It's unbelievable. I know it must be so much fun to work at the radio station right now, being the Dodgers flagship station, when the Dodgers are doing so well. That must be put a little pep in your step.
Yeah, you know what? When people ask me, oh, who's your favorite team? Who do you root for? And since I've been doing this, I left you guys in 2005. And one thing that I have discovered is when you have guys that you like, you then kind of root for the team. Otherwise, it's just work.
Yeah.
But this group of Dodgers, not that there was anything wrong with last year, but Howie Kendrick and everybody that's an Angel fan, because he's been here, you know, his whole career, is as good a guy as there is. Jimmy Rollins, like this particular group of guys is really, really good. And wow, it's an easy team to cheer for.
But there's still like 3.5 years in this season, right?
Well, if you want to play percentages, the fact that they're not even at 10% yet, maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Maybe.
All right. Well, let's bring it back into this week and talk some playoffs, because we do have a couple of local teams going for championships right now. Where do you want to start? You want to start with basketball or you want to start with hockey, Money?
Well, we've got, as Kevin said, 3.5 years before the basketball playoffs are over.
Why are the basketball playoffs so darn slow, by the way? Why do they wait 3-4 games days before, between games sometimes?
So spread out.
I think it's because, and this is just reckless speculation, I think it's because, you know, in basketball, they're typically on a team is one super, super star that has a shot to win the title, and then like a second sort of star, and you want those guys to play 38 minutes a game.
Right.
So when you have them every other day, they can't do that. Those guys will be beat
right
to hell.
But let
you
me
get
just
those 2 days off, and it works out that way.
All right, let me just play devil's advocate, though.
Sure.
No sport should play back-to-back or every other night less than hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, they really take a beating, and they play way more often than the NBA.
Yeah. And that's why I always say it's the best playoff, bar none, not even close. Best postseason in all of sports. And if you're not watching the NHL playoffs, regardless if you're a Kings fan, I don't care if you're not a hockey fan. Like if you, the Canadians are up 3-0 in that series with the Senators, it is the best playoff series I have watched, you know, save the Kings, Blackhawks, you know, from last year, one of those type series. But like first round series, it is so fun to watch because those two freaking Canadian cities and fan bases hate each other so much.
Yeah, it's sweet.
With just such vitriol. You can feel it in every shot, in every hit. It's so fun to watch.
Same with the Canucks Flames. Same thing.
Yeah.
They're going to kill each other.
Well, you know, the Canucks fans, they'll kill them with their skinny jeans or something. I mean, the Calgary people will stab you in the sternum with a pitchfork. So,
all right. Now, having said all that, Kevin has made the point a couple of times in the air during this Duck series, which is on paper, these games should be blowouts. Yet Winnipeg has led every game going into the third period. Isn't that curious?
A little. I think the one thing about the NHL playoffs, and the Kings have shown this, is if you have dominant goaltending, then on paper you will roll. If you don't, then these things can happen and you can get a 5-4 overtime game. And I'm not saying that the Ducks don't have dominant goaltending. It's been a great defense, it's been a good goaltending year for them, but it's not Jonathan Quick. You know, it's not Pekka Rinne, even though he's not playing that well. But you know what I mean? You need that type of goaltender in order to have blowouts in the NHL playoffs. And that's why.
Or you need to be able to score 5 goals. That also works.
There's that. Or, you know, 5 goals will overcome it. And that's the one thing about the Blackhawks and the Kings series is that offense of Chicago's is so g-damn good. I mean, it is scary good.
Yeah.
And if they ever had a Jonathan Quick, not only would they win the Stanley Cup every year, they wouldn't lose a game. They'd go 8-0 in every playoff game. But they have never found that goaltender, and that's what's allowed, you know, teams like the Kings to get in there and win a Stanley Cup.
Who is your who's your pick if you had to make one right now to win the cup this year, Money?
You know, going against everything I
Blackhawks.
Said, the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks.
When you watch them, it is freaking crazy how good that team is.
It's basically an all-star team.
It's
ridiculous.
It is. When you watch just how asinine talented that offense is, and then you combine that with like how gritty Patrick Sharp and Jonathan Tate. I mean, those guys play hard, and they're really, really good. It's just they don't have a goaltender. So, you know, that's why they end up getting into maybe series that are a little bit longer than they should be. But I think it's crazy to pick anyone but the Blackhawks.
This is the voice of our friend Matt Money Smith here on the Kevin Bean Show from the Petros & Money Radio Show, AM 570 LA Sports in the afternoon. All right, let's switch gears. Let's go to basketball. A lot of Clippers fans excited, of course, about making the playoffs again, but not thrilled about going up against the champs, the San Antonio Spurs. However, didn't seem to be a problem Sunday night. How'd they do it?
Well, they did it by running them out of the gym. Those old brittle legs of Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, you know, the one, and this is something that came up during the Kings, the LA Kings regular season. You know, they played 67 games the last three postseasons, and that's going to catch up with you, if you're, especially like you said, Kevin, the physical nature of hockey.
Yeah.
But for the Spurs and how old they are, they've played, I think something, what I think the number is something like 70 odd games the last 3 years.
More than the regular season.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
they basically have played an additional season of playoff games the last three seasons.
Wow. And I guess if you're old, that wears you down, right?
Exactly. So, but the fact that there's a space between Sunday and Wednesday now gives them a chance to recover. And I'm a little nervous about the Clippers and their rotation. You know, typically a playoff roster will go 8 deep. If you're a deep team, you can go 9, maybe 10 deep. The Spurs ended up playing 11 guys, 15 minutes or more. The Clippers have one guy that comes off the bench, Jamal Crawford. And Glenn Davis is just there for quick spells for Blake Griffin or DeAndre Jordan. That's not, you're not getting anywhere with that. Somehow, Spencer Hawes is going to have to contribute, and they're going to have to get this team to 8 deep if they're really going to make any noise in the postseason. So I'm anxious to see, even though it's a space between Sunday and Wednesday, if playing 43 minutes is going to be a lot and too taxing for Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday night they looked as good as they've looked all season long, right? But you're just saying that's going to be tough to replicate every game in this series.
Especially against the Spurs. Remember, the Spurs almost got, you know, they had trouble in the first round against Dallas last year. I mean, that was the toughest series they had. They blew through every other series, but in the first round, Dallas took them to 7 games. So this is not foreign territory for them. Now, I will say, you know, if you go up 2-0 in a series in the NBA, the percentages are heavily in your favor. I think it's something like 95% of the teams that go up 2-0 win.
Wow.
So this next one's big, and we know that Pop knows how big game. Craig Popovich, the head coach of the Spurs, knows how big it is. So I would be – you're going to get the Spurs' best shot on Wednesday night at Staples Center.
All right, final question for our friend Matt Money Smith. We mentioned baseball, hockey, basketball. We got to ask you one football question. Does Tim Tebow end up with the Eagles, and if so, in what role?
Tim Tebow question. isn't it remarkable how a debate between religious and secular football fans has led to a guy that hasn't played in 2 years?
Pretty weird.
And that's what it is. It's the super Christians versus the heathen. And whether or not we want Tim Tebow to succeed or fail, if he wins, I'm telling you, it's coming. Be ready for the revolution.
Yeah.
If he does not make the team, we die and it's a dirt nap, and our body decomposes, and we, you know, get absorbed back into the earth.
Yeah, so this is bigger than us. This is God and Satan are wrestling this one out.
This is it. This is the return of Jesus.
God doesn't have a very good player.
Yeah, God should trade.
Is it possible that he's being brought in to not play quarterback, to play tight end, or?
Yeah. Yeah, not tight end. I think it'd be possible. He would play quarterback, but the NFL is flirting with this extra point thing so much. And in college, Chip Kelly would always go for two after scoring his first touchdown. He likes to go for two.
Right.
He finds an advantage in going for two. And if Tim Tebow's your quarterback from the 2-yard line, you know, it's the old Leroy Horde saying from the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, coach, if you need two, I'll get you three. If you need four, I'll get you three. That's Tim Tebow. You know, he could be a really good short yardage back, and if you put him out there for 2-point conversions, I could see that working.
Sure.
But that's, you give up, roster spots are precious. That is prime real estate in the NFL when you only get 53 guys. And if you're taking away one of those positions, a special teamer, you know, a backup along the defensive line or in the defensive front, you better be sure that that guy's going to contribute. And that's the question I think that a lot of people are going to have for Chip Kelly is how valuable can Tim Tebow really be when no one expects him to be a quarterback moving forward, just because he's not good enough as a traditional quarterback. But Chip Kelly is not a traditional head coach. He does not run a traditional offense. So there could be more to it. I'd just be really, really surprised if it were beyond a specialist role.
Expert analysis, as always, from our friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show, AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks so much for the time, dude. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
We want you to not only see Mumford & Sons August 17th at the Forum, but we want you to see them up close and personal in the fourth row. We've got tickets you can win coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, so next hour right here on the world-famous K-Rock. If you love the Mumford, you want to stick around for that. It is Tuesday morning. I got a question for you guys. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Our scientific survey shows us that about 90% of the craziest stories that happen in the United States every day happen in the great state of Florida. Allie, have we ever asked you if you have a theory why so much nonsense goes on down there in the Sunshine State?
You haven't, but I'm going to say meth.
Yeah. I think meth is part of it. Yeah. I definitely do. I would be willing to bet that meth has something to do with this first story that we have for you, and that is that a woman was naked in front of a Dunkin' Donuts. Palm Beach Post reports that Shakira Monique Martin was arrested Sunday in Green Acres near West Palm Beach. According to the police report, she said she was participating in a dare. It was part of a pledge to a dance troupe. Now, Kevin, I wanted to ask you about that. All those years that you were on Randy Jackson's dance crew on MTV.
Right.
Did you guys ever do crazy dares like this where you had to jump in to get into the gang or anything like that?
Amateurs. Those are amateurs.
Witnesses told police that Martin was offered clothes several times, but she refused to take them. She began apologizing when the police arrived. I love this quote from this guy interviewed for the news. All we see is a naked lady coming our way. She was completely naked. She was scaring our customers off. Which I think tells us something about what Miss Martin looks like. She does face a charge of indecent exposure, but you got to give her credit for having the balls to go through with the initiation, I think.
Sure.
Here's an unusual story involving David Fisher, 40 years old. West Palm Beach police say that he was a patron at the Sumo restaurant there, where he left without paying his tab. A restaurant employee went after him in the parking lot saying, "Hey, you haven't paid." The man became angry, reached inside his car, according to the arrest report, and pulled out a pair of nunchucks and began swinging them at the employee. He said, "I was trained by the Marines, and I will kill you." This is not what you expect when you're running after a guy after he walks out on a check, right?
That's insane.
The employee started to run, but Fisher chased him with the nunchucks still swinging. The employee retreated inside. Fisher got back in his car. Before he left, someone was able to get his license plate number. Police went to the man's residence. In between the driver's seat and the passenger side were the nunchucks in plain view. So that, keep that in mind if you're going after somebody after running out on a bill.
If you're in Florida.
If you're in Florida, right. Here's a great story about how difficult it is to be a counterfeiter these days. I don't know if you've noticed, but in recent years, they have made so many changes to United States currency that you can't just print them out on a Xerox machine anymore like you used to and pass those as real bills. They're very complicated now. You know, they got holograms on them, and they got all sorts of different kinds of colored paper in there. It's getting tougher and tougher to make counterfeit money. Well, that's what happened to this young Florida counterfeiter, a 20-year-old named Tony Torbert Jr. He realized that his counterfeit money just wasn't going to pass muster anymore. So what did he decide to do with it? He went online and posted a Craigslist ad selling his what he called legitimate counterfeit money.
Sweetheart.
That's not going to work.
Or did it?
It did not. Oh, well, good. I mean, it certainly caught the attention of the police, who did show up with a search warrant and seized his printer and his computer and hundreds of thousands of dollars of counterfeit currency. The police just couldn't believe that this guy was advertising obviously counterfeit money on the internet. I love it so much.
How is it legitimate counterfeit?
I think because...
Money, that's odd. Yeah.
Because there's no such thing as real legitimate right. counterfeit money. Yeah, I see your point.
Strange.
Orlando, Florida. Here's an interesting defense for a woman who made a bad business decision. Her name is Mary McCabe. She is 54 years old, and she decided to buy a foreclosed home. The home, by the way, had $415,000 of debt on it. She bought it for $100,000 on RealAuction.com. A couple of days later, she said, hey, wait a minute, I made a mistake, and I want to pull out of the sale. Her defense was that she had her judgment impaired because of the diet pills that she had been taking. That's what she said made her make the mistake in submitting the bill. It wasn't me. It was the medicine talking.
The diet pill defense.
Yeah,
yes.
Saved by the Bell.
Love it.
Yeah.
Was that an episode, Allie?
Oh, yeah. It was a good one. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. That was Jesse. Look it up. Google it.
The Homeowners Association, by the way, said no. It was phentermine. You would know, Allie. I don't know what the
phentermine.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Altering judgment is not listed as an adverse reaction or a side effect. You're supposed to have nausea, irritability, dizziness, psychosis, dry mouth, change in sexual desire. Those are all legitimate side effects, but not bad real estate purchases. So, unfortunately, her $100,000 is going to stand, it looks like. All right, one more, and I love this one so much. This is this would have just been worth it just to be able to say these words. Here's a man in Bradenton, Florida. He was working on his truck at the carport of his house. A man rode up on a bicycle and said, hey, do you have a light for my cigarette? When the homeowner went over to give the man a light, the bicyclist pulled out a switchblade knife on him and demanded that the man hand over the paintball gun that was lying on the table there in the carport. The man grabbed the paintball gun, pointed it at the would-be robber on the bicycle, and said, you need to leave now. You just brought a knife to a gunfight. Boom! How many times have you heard that expression? How rarely have you seen it actually be used in the wild? The bicyclist rode away, was last seen heading north on 14th Street. He is still on the lookout for this 6-foot-tall man, skinny with red hair, wearing white shorts, a blue and white striped shirt, green socks, a BMX-type bike, and a knife. That is awesome, isn't it? And that is What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 7.
Two and a Half Men's John Cryer has written a book. We'll talk to him about it later on this morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We got your Mumford & Sons tickets as well, plus something called Thanks for That Tweet.
I'm sorry, what? What are we doing?
Thanks for That Tweet, Bean,
bum,
just after
bum,
the top of the
bum.
Hour.
That's coming up. First, Ralph is here with the show. It's been on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
And Chip's over there just shaking her head. She's the one we make monitor the feed.
She should get danger pay.
She should, because the poor kid's just... She's got trauma now.
She comes in every once in a while and she just goes, all right, let's do it.
I got a bunch.
Got enough.
Just please take them off my hands.
Make it stop.
She has to wear a hazmat suit when she goes through the Twitter feed. It's sad.
It's rough.
You know, it's hard to find a hazmat suit in her size, too.
That's true.
We just wrap her in tinfoil.
Well, we just buy the hazmat Barbie. You just use that.
That's right.
Just rip the outfit off her.
Hey, today's Tuesday. That means new release day.
Plus IHOP is what it means.
Sure. Everyone knows it's IHOP day.
What do you got?
Bean goes to IHOP on Tuesday.
Hit me.
CDs, Alabama Shakes.
Can't wait.
Sound and Color, their new CD is out today.
They're great at Coachella.
Great. Yeah, they're a terrific band. And they played the K-Rock Coachella House, too, and they were outstanding as well.
Yellow Wolf, Love Story, Passion Pit, Kindred, new CD out today.
Ooh, like them.
Tom DeLonge, To the Stars. I'm going to the stars. New single?
I don't think that's it.
Oh. Drake, if you're reading this, it's too late. Goddamn right, Drake. I don't even know what that means.
Now, that's the one that came... It's been out digitally for a while, right? And now they're
that's
releasing
right.
No,
the
man.
CD.
I have a lot of Drake facts at my fingertips.
That's correct.
What
that's
am I,
absolutely right.
Drakeinfo.com? Who gives an F about Drake?
A lot of people.
F Drake.
I just don't understand why... I mean, his audience isn't buying it on CD. I don't understand why they even... wait a month and then put it out on.
Why are we talking so much about Drake?
He's popular, Ralph.
With
he just headlined Coachella, for God's
with
sake.
With female ducks?
He is popular. I see what you did there.
You like that?
Well played.
Thank you so much.
No, Drake is a very popular artist.
Do we play him here on K-Rock?
We don't.
Not as much
then
as
let's
other...
let's spare our listeners Drake Chat 101, shall we?
I should kick your ass for wasting my
You're
time.
Goddamn right I should.
Duly noted.
Joywave, How Do I Feel Now? How Do You Feel Now, more importantly, is the name of the CD.
Okay.
I was confused for a second. New DVDs, Taken 3, with Liam Neeson. Cake, Jennifer Aniston, and Walter, William H. Macy. TV shows on DVD, The Musketeers, Season 2, and Naked and Afraid, Season 1. That's the show where they take people and they make them be naked, and then they put them in the woods.
Right.
And then they're afraid.
Yes. Who needs to own that, by the way?
No one.
That's a good question.
I'm hoping they're not a sponsor, because no one needs Naked and Afraid Season 1 on DVD.
You should stream it forever, right? But just
seen it one Naked and Afraid episode, you've seen them all. And, more importantly, the complete series of What's Happening comes out today.
Shut up.
Wow. I just woke up.
Wow. With Dee and Raj and Shirley. Rerun?
And
Shut
Rerun.
Up.
Is that one of your favorites, Allie?
I grew up loving that show.
That is a rough noise to listen to.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
What's happening?
Such a good show.
Hey.
Oh, remember when they went to see the Doobie Brothers?
Yes! And they bootlegged the CD and they recorded it with
and
the recorder?
Was dancing, yes. And the recorder came out. Then Raj called the hotel and said, which Doobie do you be?
Boy, the Doobie Brothers were ticked off at the What's Happening kids for recording their concert illegally. And you know how they picked them out of the crowd? Because there were only 3 black people at a Doobie Brothers concert.
By the way, you guys, I might have one weekend wondered what the cast was up to. And Googled, Dee is a veterinarian in Santa Clarita.
Wow. Wow. Somebody has too much time.
You need a boyfriend. Wow. You need.
Well, that's, you've met her. That's not going
to
happen.
You need something to do on the weekend.
Pets.
Jeez.
I mean, come on.
Knitting, crocheting, friends. A hobby. You're looking up Dee from What's Happening?
I wanted to know what they were up to.
Oh, sweet Lord in heaven. While we're talking about TV shows, finally, the kids have what they've been demanding for some time now. New on DVD coming this July. It's Scooby-Doo meets KISS.
Yay!
Because the kids, you know, they love Scooby-Doo.
Do they?
A show from the 70s that no one watches anymore. And they love KISS. The kids love KISS.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. They can't get enough of KISS.
Okay.
So now, finally, Scooby-Doo and KISS are joining forces to solve a mystery together.
Now, forgive me, Ralph. Is this something that's been unearthed from the 70s?
Or
is this
my friend.
This is new?
This is a brand new, freshly produced DVD from the good folks at Hanna-Barbera.
This sounds
this brings
awesome
you
and
KISS
terrible.
And Scooby-Doo together in one high-flying mystery.
Might need to get this.
Here's a little audio from the upcoming DVD.
The legendary rock and roll band KISS. The Star Child. The Demon. The Catman. The Spaceman. Meets the legendary Dog.
I'm here for the funnel cake.
KISS needs our help.
Like, I'm no guitarist, but I can play a mean armpit.
When the Earth is threatened, this gang will have to rock your world.
We'll have this case licked in no time.
Scooby-Doo and KISS. Rock and roll mystery.
Nope.
I asked for a clip. I didn't ask for the entire
whole
trailer. But, it's coming out in July.
That sounds terrible.
Well, Casey's not in good voice. That's all I know. Shaggy sounds a little off. Casey doesn't sound like he's up to his usual standards.
Doing the voice anymore.
Like Zoinks, man! KISS and Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
Yep. Who's getting that? Is it for oldsters who love KISS and Scooby-Doo?
I can't imagine who the audience is.
Kids don't even know who Scooby-Doo is anymore.
I'm interested because it looks terrible. But other than that, I can't imagine anybody's going, yes, finally, KISS and Scooby-Doo. That's it.
We should talk to Gene Simmons about that.
Love it. Yeah, we definitely have to catch up with Mr. Simmons.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Queen Elizabeth II. Ah, I never saw the first one. Will I need it to know
you will
who
not.
This one is? All right. 89 years old today. Iggy Pop is 68. Tony Danza, 64. Robert Smith turns 56. Rob Riggle, 45 years old today. James McAvoy is 36. And Robbie Amell, you may know him from Flash. He plays Firestorm in that TV series. He's 27 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the hour. We want you to win tickets to see Mumford and Sons in row number 4 at the Forum. Tickets are going on sale this Friday morning at 10 o'clock for their show coming up in August. But you can win them, I would say, in the next 30 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
If you can get through the next couple minutes.
How well, dare you?
If you can bear it.
It's time to do
Tweet.
Bean!
Woof. Woof.
I don't like the tone of your voice right now, Ralph Garman.
It hasn't started yet.
What a batch. What a batch we have for you. A lot of visuals in this week's Thanks for That Tweet, Bean.
Perfect for radio.
Yeah, where Bean will post a picture and then put a hilarious tweet connected to it, like when he took a screen cap of a woman named Susan Bennett and her Twitter avatar with the tweet, "The voice of Siri, you guys."
Well, now that's just interesting that
here's that tweet.
Here's the woman who is the voice of Siri on Twitter. I thought a lot of people were interested in learning more about her. Aren't you interested in the person behind the voice of Siri?
Not even a little bit.
Sure was.
Not at all. I think that's the point.
Thanks for that tweet.
And I would like to say, we always forget to say this, that we don't, for the most part, we understand. You got to give us credit for understanding.
Right.
It.
We comprehend what you tried to say.
Correct.
Okay.
We see what you're going for.
What we're questioning is its entertainment value.
I see. All right.
There was a photograph of a painted portrait of a salt shaker and a pepper shaker side by side. Seeing this on the wall makes me want to push it.
Shut up, Allie.
Oh,
and
the
Bean,
kids
you
love
can't
that
play
one.
The kids sound effect for
That's
yourself.
That's not me. Yes. That's the kids.
That's not the kids.
That's that tweet.
Bean. Salt and pepper does not...
Salt and pepper had a song.
We know.
Called
we
Push It.
We get it.
How is that?
That's that tweet. Bean.
Spent 45 unsuccessful minutes in a muddy Mississippi cemetery looking for Eudora Welty's grave. So a dead woman just beat me at hide and seek.
Eudora
Welty was an author, Kevin.
Who's that for was going to be my question.
Oh, all the Eudora Welty fans out there.
I mean, like, the audience was...
I think that's for anybody who's ever unsuccessfully tried to find some sort of attraction.
And for all those people.
That's
what
able to.
All those people. Well, right. Now that you put it that way, I can understand why that needed to be tweeted.
Why didn't you list an attraction?
I did. It was Eudora Welty's grave.
Every time my rental car GPS announces, "You have arrived," I high-five myself. Hashtag swag, swag, swag.
Because
that's that tweet.
Stop saying because, we know.
Because you have arrived. As if they were saying, congratulations, you've accomplished something, not just you're at your destination. That's all. I took that as a positive affirmation.
Oh, that makes it funny then. Oh,
there you go. All right. Now we're on the same page.
That tweet.
A few follow-up tweets would have cleared that right up. Wow! I just saw the KEXP studios on the KOMO News. They are non-commercial, publicly funded, and their studios kick K-Rock's ass.
And that's for...
all the people who unsuccessfully tried to find a destination?
No.
An attraction, Ralph. An attraction.
No.
It's
for that tweet.
It's for
that tweet.
It's for K-Rock's
fan. That tweet.
For all the K-Rock.
Oh, sorry, Ralph.
All the K-Rock fans in Seattle.
No, just K-Rock.
Tweet.
K-Rock fans who have heard.
That tweet.
Did you start that tweet with at Kevin and Bean or at K-Rock?
I don't think so.
That's that tweet.
What was that one song where the person loves someone? Do you know? I need to find it.
Boy, it's quiet in here.
I can't help you.
Because a lot of songs are about love.
I think that's where I was.
We know.
Okay. That's that tweet.
The New York Times obituaries are the hottest obituaries. Jesus Christ.
Allie, you're trying hard not to laugh, but it's not working.
Get
Come
out.
Come on.
You get out.
Listen to him laugh. It's like Beavis and Butthead.
I'm still planning to extradite Amanda Knox anyway. Hashtag, I don't know what that means. Jesus Christ.
Stop laughing.
Will you two stop laughing?
You stop laughing. She's so attractive. And it was extradite in quotes. You know what I mean. Come on. See her on the
That's day. That
tweet.
Beam.
She only killed that one guy.
I feel like I see texting, reading while driving every 10 cars. Try not to overreact, but hold on. Light turned green.
Allie, I'm turning off your mic. I'm sorry. Needs to be
Come
done.
Come on, that's not fair.
Needs to be done.
That's that
tweet.
Right,
we're out of time.
That's
we're
that really tweet.
No, we do. We have to go.
No, we got all hour.
If we look at the clock.
Thanks to 50 Shades of Grey, my wife now wants her own red room, but only if it involves round-the-clock red velvet cupcakes being served.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
What the serious
Come
F?
Come on.
What's
tell
your
us
point?
That sucked. You tell us right now that sucked. That sucked.
I think it had a certain
Swing
charm.
Swing and a miss. A certain charm. You're a liar. Tell us that sucked.
It's not for everybody. It wasn't
not for anybody.
It's not for anyone.
May you Dora Welty. That's for you Dora Welty. She's lucky she's dead.
Tried to find
her. She's so lucky she's dead.
Tweet.
I need to move to Japan.
You do need to move
right?
to Japan.
They know what they're doing.
Every time, it's Kevin to meet you on K-Rock for a Tuesday morning. Congratulations to our latest Mumford & Sons winner. This is going to be Matt Sumner from Midway City. Like, that's a real place. Congratulations, sir. You're going to go see the band in the fourth row when their show comes to the Forum on August the 21st. August the 17th. Tickets are going on sale this Friday morning at 10. We got more tickets you can win later on. Here's the thing about Japan is anything goes on their game shows.
Yeah.
Every time I see a clip that somebody tweets or Facebook posts or something about another crazy Japanese game show, I can't believe it's real. I can't believe it's on TV. I saw one the other day, Kevin. You would have loved this so much. This was it was a part of a bigger game, but one of the things the contestant was asked to do was eat a plate of spaghetti while being tumbled in a dryer.
That's awesome.
That's the type of thing they do on Japan.
Why and are they so good at it?
I don't know. I mean, look, Price is Right is fine here in the United States, but some of the stuff they get away with in Japan, I mean, they bowl with humans in Japan. I saw one clip of a game show not too long ago where they oiled up a whole bunch of girls in bikinis, and then you had to, like, you jumped on top of them and kind of had to get from one girl to the first girl to the last girl. You had to kind of swim over these girls in bikinis. It's insane.
That seems like a waste of oiled up girls.
A little bit.
What this TV show that we're talking about, now they have a game show where.
Careful now.
Yeah.
There's a sex act that we can't describe that involves. Oh, I can't say that, can I?
Well, you can say it.
On a completely different topic. What would you call it if you got employment for your hand?
Okay. All right. Employment for your hand. I like it very much.
All now, right. That's unrelated.
Totally.
Now on this TV show, that's happening in an American Idol style show. So the guy's singing, and then that's happening, and he's being judged on how he sings while that's happening.
All right. So we have this video up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to check it out. But again, somebody is trying to sing while somebody else is trying to get employment for her hand. That's what's happening right now.
Yes.
Right? And you're supposed to be able to see how well you can I guess it's a concentration game, basically, is how much are you going to not be distracted by what's going on below the belt and concentrate on what's going on above the belt.
And are you judged on finishing the song?
I don't know.
The song?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. And do some people slow down the song just because?
Well, what's the rush? Yeah. But they don't really show anything. I mean, it's very tame, right? I mean, it could be shown on any TV. It's all in your imagination, what's going on kind of under the curtain, right?
I think the YouTube video is edited that way. I don't know if it's shown or not.
Is this possibly a real game show on the air in Japan? Because isn't Japan, you know more about Asian porn than I do, Kevin.
Sure.
Isn't Japan, I mean, don't they censor quite a bit of their porn? I mean, don't they have some pretty strict rules about things you can't show?
I don't know, but I do know their game shows are all insanity. I have a report here, and it's, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but they just put a computer voice reading a story.
Okay.
And this is the YouTube video that I just posted, and it's telling you about the show, and it's sexy as hell.
Japanese game show Seeing What Happens seriously tests their male contestants' karaoke skills by giving them while they sing.
Is this the best idea ever?
No.
What?
It's no.
How is this not the best idea ever? I don't care at all about American Idol. If this is going on, I'm watching every episode.
Is there more?
The object of the game is for the contestants to know the song by heart and to not be distracted by the...
By the way, who would go on this show? And what kind of incredible concentration must you have to not only be singing, but to have judges in front of you and to have a studio audience and lights and cameras and everything else that's happening? I mean, look, I have trouble peeing at a baseball game next to somebody. All right. How do these people accomplish what they're trying to do?
And I wonder if they judge them on the tempo as well, like if the tempo starts speeding up, you know,
right
as the song goes on.
They need to be able to hit the proper notes perfectly, mm-hmm. in order to win. Sometimes a hand is used and other times feet are used for the sexual gratification.
What?
Good read, by the way. This is a thing.
This is a thing, right?
This is a thing.
We tried to get this translated and we were unable to do that.
Yes, the people that we thought we knew that might speak Japanese well enough to translate the play-by-play of this were either unavailable or their Japanese wasn't good enough. But I would love it if some of our listeners who do speak Japanese would get back to us after they've watched this video. Again, Kevin, you tweeted it out. It's on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Please watch this video and tell us about the play-by-play and tell us if you think this is legit. Or is it possible, you know, a lot of times you see these things that are made to look real, but they're actually like a porn parody. I mean, for all I know, this is something that, you know, is an part of an adult video or something like that they made to look like a game show. Like, that's the bit. But it sure looks real.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
Would it be
I'm afraid
difficult?
Of this.
I don't know how to ask it.
Okay.
But if you're in front of a studio audience.
Yes.
You also have to sing. You also have to hit those notes.
Yes.
You're concentrating.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances your soldier is not going to salute? At all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you've got, there's an awful lot going on, a tremendous amount of pressure on you at this point.
Here's all I know. She's hot. This is not a, this is not a six.
Oh, and she's dressed as a nurse too, by the
this
way.
This is maybe a nine. And so I think most guys don't have the option of it not.
So, Kevin, you could be in a room where the electric chair is being used, and you could still perform if the girl with you was hot enough.
Yeah, you of course. That's not a given.
Well, I think that to Allie's point, it just requires a tremendous amount of concentration.
I don't think most guys have the ability to block that.
Okay.
So do your homework and get back to us. We need to know if this is a thing, and if it is, why is it not on the air here?
And the Kevin and Bean Show will be broadcasting live from Tokyo Monday morning.
Got a lot of response on Twitter about this game show. It is on cable TV in Japan, but it is an actual game show. It's a real thing.
So yeah, a bunch of our listeners can speak Japanese, it turns out. Mitch from Torrance writes in. He says, yes, it's an actual game show. It's on after midnight in Japan. How should I say this? He says it is real, and there are parts that happen that Japanese censors do not allow to be shown. But I guess if you're there in the studio audience, you're maybe seeing more than you need to.
All right.
If you get my meaning.
Sure.
So, anyway, time for an American version of that show. That's what I'm saying. Hey, Sexbox didn't even make it here. Can you imagine?
Yeah, but that's because they had a box.
Yeah, that's true. Without the box.
The show doesn't have that.
That show's still on the air. All right. We talked to Matt Money Smith last hour from AM570. He's one of our favorite sports analysts. And he, what was his conclusion on what he thinks Tim Tebow is going to end up being? He will be on the Eagles when the season starts this year or not?
I don't know. Okay. He didn't know. Everybody's just guessing, like, is he there to be a quarterback? Because they already have four quarterbacks, or five, because they're fifth,
yeah.
Right? So that doesn't seem necessary. And he hasn't played for 2 years. So what's Chip Kelly doing in Philadelphia?
It was funny, though, to see a guy who barely had an NFL career get signed by the Eagles, and the internet just exploded. What is people's fascination with Tim Tebow? Why are people so obsessed with him?
Well, I'm only obsessed with him because Andrew Siciliano, he used to talk to us all the time about the NFL, and he said that this guy literally can't throw the ball. he wasn't exaggerating. He's just like...
But he was obviously a great quarterback in college, right?
I don't know about his college career, but I think that's a whole different level of playing. But right. He had like four or five games, right, where he was super successful nothing else.
Yeah, during the Broncos, it was Tebow time. Yeah. Everybody thought, all right, he's the savior. He's going to do it. Plus, you're a virgin. I'm into you succeeding.
Oh. Okay. Well, there's one guy I know that is dialed in to Tim Tebow. And let's fire up the hotline to heaven and see if we can get God himself on the phone. Because if anyone knows, well, I guess if anyone knows about anything, God is the answer. But we've got him on the line here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, God.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
How you been, buddy? We haven't talked to you in a while.
Don't call me buddy.
Yes. He's also not a man, I don't think.
I'm not your buddy.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm God.
I was perhaps too familiar with you, Your Holiness.
You took my name in vain.
I didn't mean any offense by that.
All right, then.
I'm just saying you know things about things. That's
yes,
all.
Yes, God only knows.
That's what I've heard. I heard that song. All right, so what about your boy Tim Tebow?
Well, first of all, he's not my boy.
Really?
Well,
I thought you guys were tight.
He's my son's friend.
Oh, a friend of your son's. Okay.
Yes. He's one of my son's good friends.
All right.
And so JC came to me the other day and said, Dad, can you get Tim a job? Oh, and I said, all right. So I got Tim a job.
There's got to be that must be an everyday occurrence for you. People are always looking to you for some sort of handout or make some sort of miracle happen.
Pray, pray, pray. Please, please, please. Boo hoo hoo. I'm dying. All right. I get it.
Wow.
Yes, I hear every prayer, but I don't always answer them.
Okay, but this one you did.
Well, my son came to me. Okay. You know, you do anything for your kids.
Sure.
Yeah.
So JC came by the other day. Usually it's to borrow a 20 spot, but he said, my buddy Tim would like to get back into football. Can you help him out?
Okay, how was the choice made that it was going to be the Philadelphia Eagles? Because they have Mark Sanchez and they have Sam Brett. They have a lot of people at that position.
They have a lot of quarterbacks, yes.
Too many.
But I wanted to put Tim in a place that was the nearest thing to heaven on earth.
Philly?
Yes, Philly.
God, have you been to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I've been to Philly. I love that town.
Really? Because that's a surprise.
Shut up. I love Philadelphia.
It's awfully close to New Jersey to be heaven.
It's across the river from New Jersey.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying.
Oh, have you ever had a cheesesteak at Jim's on South Street?
I'm surprised that you would know about that, God.
Oh, me, damn it, that's a good sandwich. So I put Tim in Philadelphia so he could revel in the warm bosom of the Philadelphia sports fans.
Right, which brings me to the next question, which is that the Philadelphia sports fans are not overly kind.
Are the greatest people on earth? Yes, you're right, Kevin.
They're not.
I don't think that's what Kevin was saying.
Philadelphia sports fans are the best sports fans ever.
But they can also be cruel if you fail.
Well, don't fail, I guess, is the moral of the story there.
But it's Tim Tebow.
But
it's the Eagles.
But Tim has been working, I don't know if you know this or not, with a private coach for the past 2 years.
Okay.
And they say his throwing motion is much improved.
Wow, you know a lot about Tim.
He can actually get the ball in the air now.
All right. Step in the right direction.
A good start, I think.
Now, you can also see the future. So
yes, I can.
They signed him to a one-year deal. Does he make the team? Does he play? Does he have impact?
I don't like the spoilers. I don't like to give anything away.
I think in this case, it might be all right.
But there is a playoff game in his future.
There is?
A playoff
game. Wow. Yes. That would be a big improvement.
He will be watching it on the couch.
Oh.
but he will be involved in a playoff game.
Okay. Well, that doesn't give Eagles fans very much to get excited about.
Well, no, hell, they got Barkley. That's all they need.
He knows a lot.
They got Barkley. What the hell's Barkley doing in the league? Who does he know? He's not my son's friend.
Huh.
Barkley blows. Sanchez, Bradford, what the F are the Eagles doing?
That's our question. Have you talked to Chip Kelly about that?
It's going to be another year.
Oh, no.
Sounds like it,
yeah. One of those years.
Well, I'm sorry, God.
You know how many freaking jerseys I had to throw away? Foles.
Yeah.
McCoy.
Yeah. That's right.
Got
a
trash bag full of jerseys now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tough to be an Eagles fan, man.
Ridiculous.
It is. I'm sorry. Well,
I'm God, by the way, not Ralph.
No.
Right, sure.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
By the way, Ralph Garman, mm-hmm. you were out yesterday.
Yes.
You missed Kevin's review of Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Oh, right. Yes. How'd that go?
Kevin, would it be fair to say that it's not that you're recommending it to anybody, it's just that you sort of enjoyed it?
Look, that type of movie is stupid, and I know it. And this one was probably...
And so are you. So yes, there's a match made in heaven.
This one was probably more stupid than most. And the thing that makes a stupid movie work is selling the other parts of the story, which in this particular case were really dumb. But there's some funny parts in it. I mean, he runs into a pane of glass, Ralph.
You are.
He's going to laugh again.
That's a clean piece of glass.
Doesn't see the glass. I could watch that a million times in a row.
You are a child.
I could watch it a million times in a row.
You are short bus.
Kevin said yesterday that if it's a 90-minute movie, he had 4 minutes of actual entertainment in it, and that's a pretty good ratio for him. So he was down with it.
The rest of it was pretty aggressively bad. But those
4 minutes out of 90, really, that's your bar? That's where you set it?
Well, if it involves running into a piece of glass, yes.
I knew that the reviews going in were zero, so I sort of had, I had a heads up of what was going to happen. He got kicked by a horse too, Ralph. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I hope you get kicked by a horse through a pane of glass. And everybody just laughs. While we're talking about movies, I mentioned before that HBO was working on a movie about the legendary tennis match, The Battle of the Sexes. Remember that? Mm-hmm. With Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King?
Yes.
Remember me talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
I said that Elizabeth Banks was going to play Billie Jean King. And Paul Giamatti was going to play Bobby Riggs.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of not two, but three different Battle of the Sex movies that are underway.
We always ask this question, but it just must be that it gets some heat around town and then people go, we need to make that too?
Doesn't anyone back off and say, well, they're already making two of these, we're not going to make ours?
Doesn't seem like it. There's at least two for almost every topic these days.
There's another film called Matchmaker with Will Ferrell attached to play Bobby Riggs. And Fox Searchlight has just announced their version of the Battle of the Sexes tennis match.
I'm going to the Will Ferrell one, I'll tell you that right now.
With Steve Carell
as
Bobby Riggs and Emma Stone as Billie Jean King.
Wow.
Maybe I'll go to that one, too.
They're addressing. They're getting some A-list talent for these projects.
I don't see Emma Stone as Billie Jean King at all, by the way.
I don't either.
That's really stretching it, casting-wise. Yeah. First of all, she's way too young, right?
Right.
Wasn't Billie Jean more like in her 30s when that...
I think so,
When that battle went on?
Elizabeth Banks sounds much more like her.
Danny Boyle will direct.
All right.
And Simon Beaufoy, who wrote Full Monty, who apparently worked on the script. So it sounds like it's got a good pedigree, but it just strikes me as odd that they were going to do three different versions of this story.
Does anybody run into a pane of glass?
Story's been around since 1977? When the hell was the tennis match?
Yeah, it was in the 70s.
Long time ago.
It's not
Why
like
now?
You can change the ending.
Right. How are you going to... Guess what? Spoilers. She wins.
Oh, you ruined it.
But she runs into a pane of glass, Kevin. So, so you'll still go. It's all worthwhile. She goes to jump over the net, and there's a big pane of glass in front of the net, and she runs into it. You dumbass.
Does she say, that glass is really clean? That is a clean sheet of glass.
God damn you. Jon Stewart has announced that his final episode of The Daily Show will be on August the 6th.
My goodness.
That's the final episode. Look at him laughing. Look at him laughing because a fat guy ran into a pane of glass. He's still laughing about it.
Pretty good.
Was there any Segway comedy too, Kevin?
Yeah.
Oh, he sure rides that Segway. He's in the desert, right?
He goes to Vegas, yeah. Spoils the plot to Rob Hart. All that's stupid. I just need to see the 4 minutes of him being funny and fat.
All right. John Stamos appeared on Jimmy Kimmel last night and dropped the news that Netflix has ordered 13 episodes of Fuller House. Fuller House.
Allie, we found out last hour how much you love What's Happening.
Mm-hmm.
How about Full House? You excited about this coming back?
I'm excited because it's taking a different turn. We get to see, what's her name, Kimmy Gibbler.
Yep.
And Candace Bure. They're going to add a whole new dimension.
It will be a new dimension, yes.
Yeah. They're older and she's widowed and she has a baby on the way. I mean, there's a lot can happen. Shenanigans.
What about the Olsen twins, Ralph? Where are they in this?
John Stamos said they might participate. And Saget is also in the maybe column, so we'll have to wait and see. I bet Coulier's on board.
He's like, yes.
He'll be doing craft services on the set. Even if they don't use him. He needs a gig. He'll be a gaffer. That's not fair. He's probably very wealthy.
Probably so, yeah.
Stamos, I think, owns a piece of Full House now.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I forget who told me this. Somebody was reputable. I remember that much. When he got cast on ER, which is a Warner Brothers show, he made as part of his deal that his compensation would be a piece of the Full House action.
Really?
Yeah. So he got some back-end points on Full House and apparently participates in this Fuller House as well. Gets a little taste, as well as being one of the stars.
Hmm.
So there you go. He's ageless and smart.
Yeah.
And played drums on Kokomo. What more do you need?
It's true.
Kid's got everything, doesn't
That's
he?
It's true.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Queen Elizabeth II of a little country I like to call England.
I love her so much.
Celebrates her 89th birthday. Those royals live long.
They sure do. Her family line, man. Her mom was over 100 when she died.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. Your mom.
Crazy. You remember
her dad is
100.
Her husband is 95 or something.
Right.
Someone get some glass for Kevin to run into, please. Iggy Pop, 68. Tony Danza, 64 years old today. Lead singer for The Cure, Robert Smith, is 56. Rob Riggle's 45. James McAvoy, 36 years old. Robbie Amell of The Flash is 27. And the voice of your Los Angeles Clippers, Ralph Lawler, celebrates his 77th birthday today.
Yay!
The butter's in the fridge, the eggs
are
cooling, the jello's jiggling.
Different guy.
No. That's Chick Hearn. That's a longtime Lakers announcer.
Oh. Yeah.
This is another
different basketball team?
Yes.
There's more than one in Los Angeles?
The legendary Ralph Lawler.
How many basketball teams does one city need, really?
I think two's appropriate.
What's this team?
It's the Clippers.
Clippers.
Yeah.
Not familiar.
In the playoffs right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Clippers are tall sailing ships, right?
As well, yes.
Yeah. Is LA known for its tall sailing ships? Who's confused?
I don't know. How to clear that up.
My goodness.
Right.
Clippers originally from San Diego, Kevin. That's how you clear that up.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Looking for a little help here.
Not on
Get
that.
Get on your segue. Not I'm Ralph Garman. Walk the Showbiz Beat.
Allie, you going to be okay when John Cryer gets here in an hour?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I love
Is he a teenage
so
crush?
He was my Jake. So for people that loved 16 Candles and were so in love with Jake,
mm-hmm.
Ducky was my Jake.
Do we need to, as Ralph suggested yesterday, send you someplace other than here?
I think it's
might be best.
I really think.
Allie can call in maybe if she wants or something.
Yeah, we need some separation.
We'll take your call maybe if we have time.
Something's going to go down, I'm telling you. It's an unnatural sort of love.
I know, it is weird.
Well, she does have rope and chloroform, and that concerns me a little bit. Anyway, author, actor, two-time Emmy Award winner John Cryer has returned to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. First, though, May 5th is the date that the book Selfish is that what it's actually called? Is Selfish is the name of the book from
it
Kim
sure
Kardashian?
It sure is. Has ever a book been more aptly named than Selfish?
Now, is this her kind of taking away an opportunity for some others to make that claim against her by owning it, by being the first to say, hey, I'm naming the book Selfish so you can't make fun of me for that? If so, it's very clever.
I don't think she does anything. I think someone named it that. Someone compiled
it. Some PR person that knows
Someone slapped it together. She just is. She's the pet rock.
of the 21st century.
She's a pretty good looking pet rock.
Absolutely. I'm not denying her attractiveness at all.
All right.
But for those who give her the benefit of the doubt, saying she engineers any of her career, I think you are ill-advised.
This this book is, again, it's called Selfish, coming out on May 5th. We bring it up because it is number one on the pre-order list on Amazon.com. It's a book of just 300 photographs from throughout Kim Kardashian's life, starting with age 3 and ending with the last shot of the book, apparently, is at the wedding between her and her husband, Kanye West. So that's it. It's just her entire life in selfie photos. And it doesn't seem – it's not a book about her, right? It's not an interview. It's just photos.
Yes.
So I was thinking –
photos, mind you, that have been on the internet.
Right.
Yeah, it's not difficult. It's not difficult to find pictures of her on the internet.
From her Instagram account, I believe, is where the source of all these came from.
Now they're all in a book.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
so
I get
totally
it now.
Different.
I understand.
Here's what one branding expert said. And by the way, we are really sincerely interested in talking to you, the Kim Kardashian fan, if you would be so kind as to call us at 1-800-520-1067, about whether you'd buy this book, and if so, why? Why do you need or want a coffee table book of Kim Kardashian?
If you're a Kim Kardashian fan, I got a lot of other questions before we get to that. First and foremost.
Here's what one branding expert says, Ralph.
Oh, they're going to brand her now? That would be awesome. Nope. I'd love to see her brand that big ass.
That's not
just
what
heat
it
up that iron. Just Circle K. Or whatever ranch she belongs on.
I would be surprised if Courtney is branded, though, would you, if you get my meaning? Here's a branding expert who says, there's something tangible about a coffee table book versus just having 30,000 different photos of her on your phone. You can put it on your desk. You can give it as a gift, either for someone who is a fan of Kim Kardashian.
Hold on. What are the advantages? You can put it on your desk? That's a selling point?
Well, I mean,
you can put a tape dispenser on your desk, too.
But I think what the point is we know that coffee table books have been around as long as publishing has been around.
That's
people
true,
love
yes.
to have something if it's a topic that they enjoy.
Yes, right.
They, you know, whether it's photography or it's movies or whatever it is.
It says something
they
about the owner, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's what they're saying is that this is a step up. This is a classy way to enjoy your Kim Kardashian selfies by not just strolling through her Instagram account,
right.
I guess.
Yep.
The thing I don't get, remember Madonna's book, Sex?
Yes.
It was pictures of her taken by a renowned photographer, all different situations.
There was a through line, there was a theme to
yes,
it.
Yes, artistic, amazing.
And never before seen those photos.
Right.
Right.
That I get.
I do too.
These are
that was
just...
That was an artistic statement.
Yes.
That was a thing.
These are pictures of her. These are selfies that we've seen on Instagram.
Okay, so it's not shocking to us that that book is coming out, but it is number one on the pre-order list for Amazon. Number
Look,
one.
Her phenomenal success is literally beyond me. I get the fact that she's attractive, but she's not the first attractive person that's ever been in the media. The fact that she is without merit, I mean, genuinely without any sort of ascertainable talent or gifts or skills.
Oh, she's got gifts.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, physical aside, what does she offer of interest to anyone?
All right, if you had to guess, Ralph, what do you think it is? It has to be more than just she's hot. Because as you point out, there are lots of hot
by
women.
By saying it is beyond me, and I am not kidding. I have no answer for her success. I watched a little bit of that Keeping Up with the Kardashians show. It is unwatchable. It's like it's not even interesting in a train wreck kind of way. It's just her family arguing about stuff and going to lunch and going to doctor's appointments and getting Botox and stuff. I mean, there's nothing happening on that show. I'm literally
sit down, Ralph. Sit down. You need to sit down.
We are looking for Kim Kardashian fans to call us, particularly if you've ordered the book at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Tara real quick. She's on West Hill. She might get the conversation started. Maybe she can weigh in on what's happening. How is this phenomena still happening in 2015? Hi, Tara.
Hi there. Good morning, everyone.
Help us out.
As a Middle Eastern American, the women from those countries tend to be able to emulate her look a lot easier than people from, say, you know, more Western areas.
Okay.
You know, we have similar features, and so copying that look right now is key. She's a pop icon, and looking like her is an automatic, you know, beauty point. So with the book, you're kind of streamlining the process, because instead of having, you know, your iPad up and the image flickers away constantly, and you can kind of trade it, like trading cards with your friends. Hey, did you do this look? Did you do that one? And you can make little tabs, like sticky tabs on, you know, the baby doll and refer to it. It's kind of organizing the process.
Oh, sweet Lord.
So you're saying it's basically for you, it's a hair and makeup and style tutorial that you can have at the ready.
Exactly.
Oh, honey.
Now, does that sort of make sense to me? I mean, that's not something we would ever think of, Ralph, but if you're a girl who likes the way she, Kim Kardashian, puts herself together, maybe this does make sense.
Like, if you like the way she does a cat eye, you can have that page open,
page
be in the
42.
Bathroom.
Page 42!
Oh, my God!
Page 42!
Wow.
Hold, please.
Hey, Tara, you'll never be Kim Kardashian! You're an asshole!
Oh, that's just me. Tara seems very nice.
I don't.
All right.
Like
Tara, do you
she
follow?
She said page 42.
Do you follow Kim? Do you follow her on Twitter?
Friends.
Do you follow her on Twitter or Instagram?
No, I
actually like, I'm not crazy.
Not.
You don't.
It's not get ridiculous.
No, but within my social circle, there's definitely nights where we said, hey, so what are you doing tonight? I'm doing my Kim K baby doll. You know, and it has its own tagline. It has its own title of what look you're doing. You know, the bouffant in the front, the hairstyle. Weddings, what are you doing? Oh, the Kim K bouffant. You know,
oh,
she has
titles.
Yeah.
Wow.
For
I weep.
Her look.
You make me want to weep.
Well, you know what? In her defense, I get that more than anything else.
I do, too. It makes sense to me.
That I get.
She just wants to look like her.
That she wants to emulate a look that she would have to look at a computer, then a tutorial, then you're rewinding. You can't be teasing your hair as you're trying to rewind, that type of thing.
How do you find it again?
Right.
I can't imagine the pain you must live with on a daily basis, Tara. It sounds like it's just pure hell.
Terry, you're very brave to call, and we thank you for that, my dear.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Bye.
Hey, Tara, you're a page 42 asshole!
Wow.
1-800-520-1067. What do you have to add to what Tara has said? This is we rarely do this, but we are looking for Kim Kardashian fans today. Explain it to us. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. The New York Daily News says Kim Kardashian, the reality star's latest project, a coffee table book of self-portraits called Selfish, is her most indulgent project yet, but it's only going to boost her $65 million brand. Every time you think the public might be sick of Kim Kardashian, she comes back even stronger, says the founder of Platinum Riot Entertainment, a marketing company. Whether it's the video game, the picture book, the girl is an empire, and this is just another seven-figure payday.
Yeah.
By the way,
well,
that's true.
They're right. They're absolutely right.
That's true.
It's revolting, but true.
It doesn't anger me like it does Ralph, but
how can it not anger
It just doesn't. Well, I just go, well, she's hot.
I get angry at the dumbing down of America, but you're already there, so it doesn't really bother you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're running at the glass, laughing your ass off. So what? How could it bother you? You don't mind.
How
you got
dare
4
you?
Minutes of Paul Blart under your belt. You're happy.
So you feel she it is undeserved success. That's what your problem is.
Everything.
It ruins everything.
Everything.
How is that possible?
My
how does it ruin everything?
Pancakes taste a little worse today.
I don't.
Because of Kim Kardashian. She ruins everything. It just. It devalues achievement in the arts, on television, in general. It's like when her husband demands that she be put on the Walk of Fame. It's like fame now has no value because but she has shown that you don't need to accomplish anything to get notoriety or get acclaim anymore.
She's hot.
You can just be.
Hot.
And people, there's tons of hot people, Kevin.
I know, but if she wasn't hot.
But there's lots of hot women who do things.
No, I
even
agree.
Models walk a runway or wear clothing or do photo shoots or something.
I'm put in a strange position of defending Kim Kardashian right now.
I know. How can you?
Now let's go to the phone so that we can yell at them.
All right.
Who do you want to go to first? 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for Kim Kardashian fans. You want to start with Julian maybe on line 2?
All right.
He's in Chula Vista.
Hi, Julian.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Hey, we're doing good. How about you, Julian?
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Say the S word, but all right, you're against it. Then
I'm with her and against it.
You're with her and against
this
her.
This is going to be an excellent phone call, and I'm looking forward to the
rest. All right. Explain, please.
I am with her because my sister is now a model, and she is a gold digger now.
Who's talking? Who's giving you the words? Just give the phone to him. Julian is an idiot. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Julian, you're a dude. What's wrong with you, asshole?
There's your Kim Kardashian fan right there in a nutshell.
She's like a 12-year-old being coached by an old man. I didn't know what was going on in that
Just
phone
say
phone.
She's got a nice butt. If you say what I tell you to, I'll let you go.
Very sketchy.
Something's going in the back of a van there with Julian.
All right, let's try Christina in Los Angeles on line 6. Let's see what kind of damage she has. What she has to offer.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're good.
Good. I was just calling because I happened to tune in, and I heard you guys talking about Kim Kardashian and her new selfie book.
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I had just wanted to chime in. I'm definitely a fan of her fashion and her makeup style and her hair. I mean, I'm sure she has a team of people that spend 3 hours on her, but
right.
Just as a fan of the way she looks, I mean, I could totally agree with that caller, Tara. There's a lot of looks that girls who have similar features to her like to emulate. Uh-huh. And this is just another way for us to see it. I mean, girls go on YouTube to look at videos of girls who are not even Kim Kardashian to see how they do makeup, how they do hair. But, I mean, she's just so in the spotlight that she's someone that people can look to. I'm not saying that she has any talent or that anybody would watch her show for any because it's a good quality show. I mean, people just want to see what she's doing, where she's going, what she's wearing. I mean, as psychotic as it is, I mean, that's kind of the way the world
But that's what we're that's what we're trying to figure out, Christina. Christina, that's what we're trying to figure out. Why do people care where she's having dinner?
Right. Where she goes.
Yeah, why? Why does she have tens of millions of followers on all social media platforms? Why would you possibly follow Kim Kardashian on Instagram?
To see her looks. I mean, she's beautiful. I mean, no one can deny that she's gorgeous. Even though she's surgically enhanced, don't get me wrong, I totally understand that. Like, she's not, you know, we're not going to look like she does because nobody has the money.
But how many pictures of her looks do you need to emulate her? How many photographs until you say, okay, I've got that now. I can use that as a reference.
Well, as far as girls go, I don't know if guys understand, but I mean, girls who do makeup and do hair, we're constantly changing our style, constantly changing our look. And same thing with her. She's constantly changing the way she looks. So, I mean, it could be, you know, 1,000 pictures that you want to see. I mean, not just of her, but of anybody who's doing makeup looks. So, I mean, she's just someone who's out there in the spotlight. Mm. And
I can see it from a hair and makeup point of view.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain when people are playing her video game and watching TV show.
Yeah, I don't really understand, like, the app. That's kind of strange. But, I mean, maybe those are people who are teens and they just, you know, feel like they want to be cool like Kim Kardashian. I mean,
all right, very cool. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Brittany real quick. I think she could be the caller we're looking for. She's from Long Beach. She joins us on line 4. Hi, Brittany. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good.
What do you have to add?
So I'm for Kim Kardashian. A lot of people say, you know, she's stupid, she's making wrong choices, but look at how much money she has made for herself and her family. So that's why I'm for her. I think she's, you know, strong and successful woman. She gets beat on by the paparazzi and media all the time, but, I mean, she's made so much money for herself.
You think she's responsible for her business success?
I think her and her mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but I just think that, you know, everyone say, oh, she's so stupid, but she is one of the most influential and, you know, richest people right now. So
it's hard to argue with the success. I mean, that's
it is. Do you think a can of Coca-Cola makes itself taste good?
Boom. I don't know what that means.
Nailed it.
Oh, God.
I'm saying she's a brand. She's a product. But you really think she's the smarts behind her brand and the selling of her?
I think her and of course her mom.
Yeah.
Her mom. I mean, her mom has literally like pimped out all of her children.
Yeah.
But her mom's literally. Let's face it.
But look at how much money they have. So
right, they're rich and evil.
So you said when you came on, Brittany, you said that you are pro Kim Kardashian, and your reason is then because she's so successful, because she's popular and she's successful. That's why you like her.
Yeah, yeah. And even though she's, you know, she's half naked sometimes or things like that. I mean, my thing is if you got it, flaunt it, and you know, might as well make some money at it while you're doing it.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I have no problem with people being naked. But I think that to say it's because someone's rich automatically gives them some sort of value is dangerous.
I agree.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. But I mean, I don't know. I'm just a fan. I love not only just like, I mean, she gets to wear the most amazing clothes in the world.
It goes back to looks and clothes and stuff. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I mean,
but she also has to live with Kanye, though. That's like being in hell, right?
Yeah, but I mean, look at him too. He, you know, he's a jerk. But again,
but he's rich. You know, he's a rich jerk. So it's okay in Britney's world.
It's okay.
You're a gem, Britney.
Thank you, Britney. Glad you called. Do we have a song for Britney to say goodbye?
We don't, unfortunately, but we do for Bob. If we want to go to Bob, we have a song for Bob.
We pre-songed Bob.
Can we just hear the song?
We pre-songed Bob.
Come on, guys.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I like Kim Kardashian.
Hey, Bob, you're an ironic asshole!
Oh, too soon, sorry.
What's that, Bob?
I think
sorry.
It's ironic.
She's moronic? I agree.
Ironic.
Oh, ironic.
I like her for all the reasons that that Ralph hates her. You're watching the show wrong. You need to watch that show drunk and turn the volume down and pick up your own words to make the show way better and hilarious.
I like
so
it.
So Mystery Science Theater
there you
for
go.
The Kardashians.
Exactly. It's a lot like that.
Wow.
That's not bad.
I like her because she's popular, and I don't think she's popular for any certain reason. I like it because it's ironic, and it's like an opposite of being a hipster. It's like an anti-hipster.
There's okay. A lot of levels.
I'm gonna have to. We're gonna have to study.
I can't work that hard, Bob.
Send that to the team and see if they can figure out what you're talking about.
Thanks, Bob. Actor John Cryer joins us in the 9 o'clock hour, and yet another chance for you to win tickets in the fourth row for Mumford and Sons at the Forum. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. for that show, which is going to be August 17th. But you can win them up close in row 4 between 9 and 10 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K Rock.
Hey, Bean. Now Mole's on the phone.
Mole, you're kidding me.
Do we have time?
Sure, absolutely. I love Mole. Hey, Mole.
Hey, Kevin Bean, you know who it is?
Yeah, it's Mole. We just said it was. Say hi to Allie McKay. She works on the show now, Mole.
Oh, hey, Allie. Oh, Lisa's got the day off. I get it. I get it. I know. Today's the day, man. Today's the day to P-A-R-T-I-E-E-Y partay.
Why are we partying today? How come?
It's a little something called 420. Yeah. Spark it up.
Well, technically, 420 was yesterday.
Yeah, today's the 21st, Mole.
No, today's 420. It can't be the 21st because, for one thing, I have jury duty on the 21st, and I'm not there. I'm right here.
Right. I got bad news for you. You are missing jury duty right now because it is the 21st. You should have celebrated 420 yesterday.
What did you do yesterday?
It can't be 420. I still have my baby arm doobie for 420, and I still have half of it.
Well, you're going to have to save it for a year then, Mole.
You know why I call it baby arm, too? Because it looks like a baby arm.
Yeah.
Right.
And I roll it in a diaper.
Okay. Whatever works for you.
We're being totes for reals right now.
We're being totes for reals, yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. You always have problems with the calendar. It seems like you're never quite on board with what day it is.
Can one of you guys come over and update my iBing calendar? I can't figure this thing out.
Okay. I don't even
understand. Hey, what'd you guys do for 420 besides not hang out? Totally. Oh, wait, can I guess what you guys do for 420? Can I guess? Okay,
sure.
Bean, you took a trip inside your mind, but it was overbooked, so you got bumped. But they put you up in a hotel nearby, and you left your phone charger in the room. And then you went to get it back, and housekeeping said they never saw it, and you felt bad that you left such a big tip. True?
It's a lot of information.
That is. I bet you made sick up from reefer fruity pebble treats. Close.
That didn't happen yesterday. Although it sounds like that would have been a lot of fun. I should have let you plan my day for me.
Oh man,
I'm sorry.
There is one. I got one thing going for me.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, I'm the first one here, man. I've got my pick of camping spots, Coachella. First one. Let's spark up the baby arm.
Okay.
Coachella was 2 weeks ago and last weekend.
It's over. Coachella's over for this year.
I think it's country music.
I blame the Mayans on all this. Hey, you guys got John Cryer coming up.
Yes, we do.
He's got a book called So That Happened.
That's right. That's the guy we're talking to in just a few minutes. Yes, Mole.
Yeah. I'm just saying he's got a book called So That Happened.
Well, we knew that. That's what he's coming in to talk about.
I know. Mole. I want to know what happened.
Well, I guess you'll have to listen to him.
All right. Bye, Allie.
Bye.
Anyway, I made it out to see Richie Ramone on Wednesday. Went out to Los Globos.
Well, I'm sorry, where?
Pretty happening club out
Los
there.
Los Globos?
And he played. He had the Richie Ramone backdrop. It was like a Ramone show, almost.
No, it wasn't.
But it was pretty cool.
They're all dead.
Richie, of course, was on drums, playing and singing at the same time. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then, every now and then, he'd get up and do the mic and stand up and sing.
Mm. Hey, Rodney.
It was pretty cool. Valentino of the Standells was there. Dime Runner opened up for them.
Rodney.
And then another band, 222, played first.
Sounds like a fun night.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Here's Richie Ramone from the Ramones.
We're not
he was
playing
in the later Ramones and doing Crenimal. Start off our set doing Crenimal.
Crenimal?
We should be playing more gigs. Crenimal. Any of you people out there at book clubs, check out Richie Ramone.
Richie Ramone.
Have an actual Ramone playing on
the
your
only
stage.
One left. Later day Ramone.
So get a hold of Richie Ramone.
Okay.
Book him in the Whiskey a Go Go. Book him in the Troubadour.
Why don't you book him in your club, Rodney?
Book him anywhere. He needs to play.
He needs to play.
He's got a car payment to make.
That's true. He needs to play. He was one of the later Ramones, not one of the original Ramones.
No, he's one of the living ones.
Right, one of the few that's still alive.
But he plays in Los Globlos.
He does.
Where's Los Globlos?
I don't know, but I love his new song, Crenimal.
Crenimal.
Crenimal is pretty good. Awesome. Oh. Rodney's definitely out there getting it done for Richie Ramone. All right, it's 8:53 Tuesday morning. Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is a Tuesday. That means it's new release day. Here's what you can pick up. Alabama Shakes. They have a new CD out called Color and Sound. We're Sound and Color. More appropriately. Yellow Wolf has the Love Story. Passion Pit, their new CD, Kindred, is in stores today as well. Tom DeLonge's To the Stars is released today. Drake, If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, has a new CD and a band called Joy Wave. How Do You Feel Now is the name of their new CD. On DVDs, you can catch Taken 3 with Liam Neeson, if you missed that. Cake, the critically acclaimed movie starring Jennifer Aniston. Walter with William H. Macy, also on DVD, and TV shows on DVD as well. The Musketeers, Season 2. Naked,
yes.
Naked and Afraid, Season 1. But the reason Ally McKay is celebrating, What's Happening, the complete series. They're playing basketball. They're sure playing basketball. That's the What's Happening theme right there. Raj. Rerun.
Dwayne.
Dwayne.
D.
D.
Shirley.
Shirley.
Mama.
Mama. Shirley was the waitress, right?
Sure was.
Somebody knows her. What's happening? How many of them are still alive, Allie?
Dee is still alive.
What is Dee doing these days,
she's,
Allie?
Thanks for asking. She's a vet up in Santa Clarita last time I Googled.
Okay.
Which was a Saturday night probably a few months ago.
You know how to live.
Live. Dwayne actually does some signings every now and then, where you can go and
what, for petitions?
What's nope,
he outside
nope.
of outside
he's
of Albertsons?
Outside of Ralph's.
Is he collecting names for voting or something?
Autographs for
he does autographs.
Fans, such all as right. me.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
I don't believe Rerun's with us anymore.
He is
I think
not.
We did lose him.
Fred Rerun Berry, I believe, is gone.
Is gone.
Yeah. I just don't care at all.
But his dance lives on. Am I right?
He was a popper in a locker. He was with the band The Lockers, the dance troupe The Lockers. That's how he got to start. Fred Berry.
And the beret, and then he was the suspenders.
Oh, so, he was a joy.
Oh, wasn't he?
National treasure.
Agree.
You guys know we're on the air, right?
Oh,
what's
sorry.
Happening, Kevin?
And then what's happening now?
You're aware that what's happening now?
Right?
I forgot about what's happening now.
Oh. I will never let you forget again.
What was What's Happening Now? Was that like a reboot?
Yeah, it was after.
Ralph, we're on the air.
Oh, sorry.
Bruce Jenner does his tell-all interview with Diane Sawyer this Friday. Good folks over at ABC have a sneak peek online. The new footage shows Bruce Jenner saying that his family are the only ones he's concerned with regarding his change, and he simply can't let myself hurt them, he says. My whole life has been getting me ready for this, says the father of six.
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
2020 on Friday, by the way.
What does he mean by I can't let myself hurt them? What does that mean?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to watch the interview to get
get all of the context.
Okay.
And it's very rare when you see a fashion designer say anti-homosexual sentiments. But it happened this week. Giorgio Armani, legendary Giorgio Armani, said a statement over the weekend that has gay people upset, but they're not quite sure why they're upset.
What?
Because no one really knows what he's saying, but it sounds derogatory. Here's the quote.
Okay.
A homosexual man is a man 100%. He does not need to dress homosexual. When homosexuality is exhibited to the extreme to say, ah, you know I'm homosexual, that has nothing to do with me. A man has to be a man.
Yeah, I'm confused.
I don't know what his point is. No noise is said, but some people are upset.
Hey, that doesn't sound right.
That's something fishy about that.
I'm not positive what
you
said.
I'm not sure why I'm angry, but I don't think I like your tone, Giorgio Armani.
That thing you said about gay people might have been offensive, I guess.
Maybe. What? You? Whoa. I got my eye on you.
Said the gay community. So.
And Chris Brown had an unplanned child with a woman named Nia Brown. No relation. But he's very happy with the end result. He just posted a photo of his 9-month-old daughter on Instagram saying, God has blessed me with my twin. Because the baby looks like he did, apparently, as a baby. And he's very happy with that.
God has blessed me with my twin.
Yeah, she's going to be a good-looking lady if she looks like Chris Brown.
Does he know how twins work?
By the way, his daughter, his name is Royalty. Royalty Brown.
Royalty?
Yes.
You're saying her first name is Royalty.
That's what I'm saying. Royalty Brown.
He was like, what? And I'm all, no.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Queen Elizabeth II of England. Much better than the first ones. Rarely is the sequel better than the first, but in this case, love me some Queen Elizabeth II. That's when the prince gets taken, I think, and she has a particular set of skills. She's got to go after him and get him back or something.
Nope, you're thinking of Taken 2. Queen Elizabeth 2. Completely different.
She's 89 years old today. Singer Iggy Pop, 68 years old today. He's not fat.
No,
Iggy Pop. Pretty veiny.
He is not a fat person.
That's true. He's human beef jerky.
He is just literally skin and bones. He has no muscle whatsoever. He's a skeleton. He's a flesh-colored skeleton.
It's true.
Tony Danza is 64 years old today. Robert Smith of The Cure is 56. Rob Riggle. I love Rob Riggle.
He's great.
He's one of the funniest people.
He is great.
I agree.
Working today. 45 years old today. You know he's also a Marine.
Yes.
Yeah, until not too long ago.
That. You didn't know Rob Riggle was a Marine?
I did not know
An
that.
Active Marine for the majority of his career.
I did not know
we
that.
We have spoken with him about
We've
that.
We've spoken with
on
that
the air
many times.
Several times. Yeah. Yes.
I've enjoyed that conversation.
Yeah. You know what? He never ran into a pane of glass, Kevin. That's why you don't remember anything about him. If he was on a Segway, if he was fat on a Segway, you would love him. But because he is
Kevin.
A funny, smart man who's a Marine, you have no memory of him.
Kevin, God damn it.
James McAvoy, very talented actor. He is 36 years old. Actor Robbie Amell. He's Firestorm on The Flash. He's 27. And the voice of your Los Angeles Clippers, Ralph Lawler, celebrates his 77th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He has asked me to inform you that he is a 2-time Emmy Award winner, author, actor John Cryer joins us in studio on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Thank
Once
you.
Once again,
you.
Mr. Cryer. How are you, sir?
I'm good. There was a long list of things you were supposed to pimp for me, but that was it. That's the only one I get.
That was, I thought that was the most important. I thought was the 2-time Emmy Award winner.
National Treasure. You forgot National Treasure.
National Treasure, of course. John's book is available now at all retailers online and in stores. It's called So That Happened. It's his autobiography. And it occurred to me as I was reading it, John, and I may be the guy who read your book, but it occurs to me.
Thank you, guy who read my book.
That the first time we had you on the Kevin and Bean Show, I remember it well because we were very excited to have you as a guest. You were promoting your film, The Pompous of Love, which had to have been, what, like 1996 or something like that?
Something like that. That was the first time?
That was the first time we had you on, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So you have been coming on this show, though, for almost 20 years.
Dude, I've been doing K-Rock since 1985.
What?
Really? Okay, yes. I was here when Swedish Eagle
nice.
Was here, yes. So,
did you do Loveline back in the 80s, too?
Yes, I'm certain I did. Yes, I go way back.
You go way back. Well, it's always great to see you, and it's very exciting that we have you in here for this book. Now, did somebody come to you and ask you to write a book, or is this something you kind of inflicted on the world?
Yes, exactly. You sound astonished that a human being with dignity would approach me and say, could you please write a book?
But, I mean, has everyone else written a book, and they got to you? I mean, how did
exactly.
this happen?
They ran out of people to write books, and so I was left. No, actually, this came up. I lost a bet, basically. I bet my manager that she couldn't get me a book deal, and I lost.
So she brought it up, and then you said that'll never happen.
And I said that'll never happen because it's hard to write books, and and I don't like doing things that are hard. Mm-hmm. I'm elderly now, and she said, no, I think you've got some fun stories to tell. And you know, she was right. The more I thought about it,
what was the bet?
The bet was that I don't think you can get me a book deal.
And if she, assumed, she doesn't get her cut, she doesn't get a percentage or something, she loses? You win!
Yes,
so she should lose something.
That's a terrible bet on her part.
I hope you fired her. Once she got you the lucrative book deal, I hope you fired her.
You are done.
You're done in this business.
That is how I treat most of the people that work for me.
Sure, we know.
So, John, when you sit down and you start writing about your life, particularly a guy like you who has been acting for how long now? 30 years?
35 years?
Okay, so...
I actually did a commercial when I was four.
Wow.
44 years. For Zest Tabs, a multivitamin for kids that was packed with sugar.
That's quite a selling point.
Exactly.
Lots of energy, though.
It was zesty.
Energy.
They were zesty, of course.
So, and I love that story of the book, by the way, because they had to recast his sister. So he was actually in the commercial with a fake actress playing his sister.
Playing my sister. That I would have loved to recast my real-life sister.
So I guess my question was going to be, when you sit down and you realize, hey, I'm going to write a book, you have to decide what level of honesty is going to be in this book. Because you've seen some things. I mean, you've been to the Playboy Mansion. You've done a lot of stuff. And I imagine there are some stories that you had to hold back. Was that tough for you to decide what could make the book and what wouldn't?
Anything that constituted a felony did not make it.
I think that's a good rule. Limitations came into effect.
Exactly. Exactly. I studied the legal statutes of the state of California. I tried to be real honest, and I at one point admitted that that when Charlie Sheen and I were both single, I had visited some of the ladies of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
John
bless
Cryer
him.
Got a hooker. That's
yes.
in the book, you guys.
And that should have been the title. Now that I think about it, because for all the press that received,
I think you're the only one who's ever done that.
Exactly,
that's probably
I'm
why.
The only one. And what was great was the legend is growing because Michael Douglas, of all people, came up to me after he and I did a bit on Fallon. And he said, so is it true Charlie got you a hooker for your birthday? And I was like, whoa, this story is changing constantly.
Was it true or false that you spent most of your hour helping that young lady with her taxes?
Yes, that is true, sadly.
That's the saddest visit ever to a hooker.
That should be a do-over then.
Well, but also, in retrospect, the financial advice I gave her wasn't very good. And that's what I'm truly mortified about. Exactly.
That'll teach her.
We are talking to actor John Cryer here at the Kevin DeBeach Show. His book is available everywhere. It's called So That Happened. And I have to say, John, I was very impressed by, I guess I didn't realize, you're a little bit of a prodigy. You mentioned that you started doing commercials at four. Have you ever had a non-show business job? Because I see that you were on Broadway practically in high school. So has this been your whole life?
No, I had my very first job was passing out leaflets on the street for a gym.
Okay.
And as you can see, I am a physical specimen.
Sure, right. Hey, I want to really... look like that guy. Let's go to the gym.
You were
go to
that guy's gym. On the leaflet? Is that what it was? but
what I did learn a lot about rejection from that job, and it was very helpful because nobody wants to take a leaflet on the street.
Yeah.
Certainly not from some squirrely guy handing out things for a gym.
Right.
Was there ever a time in your career, down years, where you thought you would have to get a non-show business job?
Yes. Yes. There were about 3 years from 2000, and you guys made fun of it, which was great.
Yeah, we did.
Where all of my shows just kept bombing.
Yeah.
Until it became, I think I made a bet with you guys.
Yeah.
About whether my show would make it, and I actually won the bet. because my one of the show, a show called The Trouble with Normal lasted 8 episodes instead of 7.
Right.
So beat us by 1.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did we ever pay
in
up?
Your face? I think I won tickets to the Christmas.
We were getting to see anyway.
Yes. Exactly. Oh man! See, I'm bad at betting. I'm really bad at betting people things.
You seem to be incredibly honest about a lot of stuff that a lot of people wouldn't want out there. You know, you have kids.
Yes, I have children. And actually, there is a disclaimer at the beginning of the book because I dedicate the book to my children. But then I ask them, please don't read the part about the prostitute. And I think that's a good heads up.
Right.
I'm just trying to put it out there. yeah, you know, I wrote the book for adults. You know, I figured what kind of book would I want to read? And, you know, my kids actually aren't that interested in me.
Yeah, well,
okay, you got that going for you.
Yes, nothing exactly.
They're the American public.
Exactly.
Oh, whoa. What is wrong with you?
Got to start one of the most successful comedies in television history.
History. B.
I kid because I love
Teddy Z. We're talking about
right. Famous Teddy Z.
No, that lasted 14 episodes. Thank you very much.
No, I did love that series.
Okay.
By the way,
thank you.
You and
thank
Alex Rocco were quite the team together.
I'm so glad you brought up the part about the show killer because you do talk about it in the book, and I genuinely felt bad.
You did not.
No, I did. I genuinely felt bad.
Absolutely did not.
I did. And here's why. Because when I read the book, I realized that this was fun for us as wacky radio DJs to make fun of this guy on TV who was obviously richer and handsomer and more successful than we'd ever be because that's how, you know, that's how we bring ourselves up. But for John, it was a very real crisis for a while there that really affected you deeply. I mean, you had, you wrote a letter to Time Magazine lambasting them for calling you a show killer. I mean, it was hurtful to you, and I want to apologize now for all the fun we made at your expense back then.
Well, thank you.
Easy, Barbara Walters.
He's a dick.
Come on.
Yeah, it's true.
He's a dick.
So you feared you might not get on a show that would last, and that that had to be scary as an actor.
Yeah, no, I had by 2003. I was looking at, you know, having to sell my house and, you know, and given, you know, there are people all over the world who face much worse situations than that. It was pretty scary for me, who has no marketable skills or intellect.
You can hand out leaflets.
I can.
You got that in your back
with the best
pocket.
Of them.
You can do
exactly.
Hooker taxes.
Wait a minute. This is a segment of the marketplace.
It's a nice trade deal.
Underserved.
Currently underserved, but no, I start to all those speeches that your parents gave you about having something to fall back on start ringing in your ears, you know. But one thing that I loved about show business from the beginning was how stupid it was, and that it's kind of unfair, and that it's always entertaining. So on some level, I was able to go through that time just because I was entertained by how dumb it was and unfair it was.
You have such an amazing sense of humor, though, in that you would – I don't know. How many series was it that you came in and then forced us to
– bet on?
I think it was like 3 or 4 series.
It was 4 series
how
in a row.
Why would you come here?
What is your problem?
Why would you come to this show if that's the way you're treated?
Well, you know, the thing was every time, and in your guys' defense, I'm a writer, guys. I'm now an author. They let me write a book. In your defense, for those first 3 shows, you guys were super cool about it and were always promoting it and helping it. And if you watched the show, you'd say you watched the show and you'd say you liked it. And
we were
so
rooting for you.
So exactly. So you set me up beautifully to hammer me down that last 4th time.
Yeah. Well, you got the last laugh by being on one of the most successful sitcoms in television history, by the way. And you probably don't need to work again. So I was
driven by getting revenge on you people.
Exactly. Hey, what do you mean by you people, man? John Cryer is here. The book is terrific. It's called So That Happened. We have many more questions. Allie hasn't even revealed her lifelong crush on Mr. Cryer yet, so that'll happen, and we'll talk more when we return right after this on K-Rock. Can I say best-selling author John Cryer in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show? Are we at that point yet?
You can say that.
Okay.
You can say that.
Where are you on the charts?
I am number 19.
With a
bullet. But I tell you, I'm getting killed by Candace Bergen's book. Killed.
Bitch.
Getting killed.
Who has any interest in that?
Exactly.
She had a brother who was a puppet. You can't beat
exactly.
that. That's fascinating stuff, John.
It is. You're right.
Your brother is made out of wood.
She's a bitch.
Kevin doesn't get that reference, Ralph, but it was very funny.
Thank you.
The new book from John Cryer is called So That Happened, and it's very, very funny. All right, let's get into some of the dirt here. Allie, first of all, have you met Mr. Cryer?
Just now,
This is the only time I've seen Allie McKay speechless. She's kind of staring at him, just mouth agape.
It's sort of nice.
John, you were her teenage crush. This is a very big moment for her.
Here's the thing. So many people love 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink. But a lot of people love Jake from 16 Candles. That was their crush.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, Jake.
You were my Jake.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
wow.
He was my Jake.
I've waited my entire life to have someone say, you were my Jake.
You were my Jake.
Thank you. I'm sadly married.
To a newswoman
to
of all
To a newswoman
things.
Of all people.
To a hot newswoman, by the way.
But, you know, but thank you. That is so kind of you to say.
But, John, you hear that a lot. I mean, you must have a lot of people who grew up and Ducky was their thing and they thought he was their best friend or he was going to be their boyfriend or something like that. You must have been hearing that your whole career, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But, and you know, some people try to sort of escape the legacy of the roles that they used to do. But for me, it's great because I figure if you've done a role that people remember and take to their heart like that, you have to be incredibly grateful for that as an actor.
Well, there are actors and actresses that go, but what, you know, I'm doing stuff now, and so I'm a little offended by that.
Well, and you've done 30 or 50 other TV shows and movies since then, but people still want to talk to you about Ducky.
But those were forgettable, which is great, which works out very well for
me. When you grow up, too, there's no danger of you being typecast as sort of a high school nerd because you'll never be that age again.
Again,
so
exactly.
To do something else.
Johnny
exactly.
Admits that he wore leg warmers, by the way.
I should say that.
He wore leg warmers.
Oh, my
that
Lord.
Happened.
That's a part of the book, too, if you don't
deal.
Mind talking about it, for people that are obsessed with Pretty in Pink. That your situation there what maybe wasn't the most fun.
Oh, well, yes. When shooting Pretty in Pink, I don't know if you guys have had Molly Ringwald or Andrew McCarthy in the studio, but they're different kinds of people than
yes.
me. They're not particularly outgoing. They're just quiet people. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, when I am faced with people like that, I freak out and panic because they don't communicate in the same way I do. I'm from New York. Mm-hmm. This is how I am. And
John's using his hands a lot, by the way,
already.
For those who can't see us.
I wish you could see this.
You said in the book.
You can hear the wind of the whoosh, 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 whoosh.
You said in the book that you assume everybody was going to be best friends.
Exactly.
Because that's how you are. And...
Well, also because I come from the theater where it's kind of like a traveling circus. You know, you're putting on a show and everybody knows each other and hangs out
family.
And you become family and that doesn't happen in movies, and that really threw me off, and so I just assumed they hated me
and
apparently
you were
they did a little
she didn't even want you for the role.
There's another thing I didn't know at the time. I only discovered that 25 years later when I was watching the DVD extras on the Pretty in Pink DVD. They put out an anniversary DVD, and yes, I'm that sad that I sit at home watching my own movie.
It's not sad unless that's literally how you found out that she didn't want you as that role.
That is literally how I found out she didn't want me as that role. I was like, what? But it did explain it because there was not that sort of sexual chemistry that she and I had, mm-hmm. you know? And now that I found out that she actually wanted Robert Downey Jr. for that part and that she would have felt that sexual chemistry with him, which she openly admits.
Wouldn't we all?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. I don't.
But you
I don't
get the last laugh because whatever happened to him?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. In obscurity, that fella is.
Was it also? Of course, I know the answer to this, but it's fun to talk about it. Pretty in Pink was such a huge success that kind of spoiled you for movies for a while, right? Because most people don't have that kind of experience so early in their career.
Yes, it is. It's a little terrifying at the time because you think, wow, I've had, you know, what might be my biggest success when I'm 19. Mm. You know, that's a little scary. But what I did was I just made a piece of crap after piece of crap after that, and that was my formula.
Good.
All right,
just destroy your career so you wouldn't have to do any pressure.
Exactly,
it
worked cleanser. Beautifully.
I was like, forget about that. Well, look at this.
Look how bad I can be.
But actually, that was a fun thing to discuss in the book. Was that it was how I managed to just sort of destroy my career in like four movies, but obviously, you know, the fullness of time has given me the sense of humor about that. At the
absolutely,
time, they all seem like good ideas. ideas.
Yeah. I thought this was interesting. John Cryer's here again. We're talking about his book that's available for purchase everywhere online and in stores, and it's terrific, and it's called So That Happened. And you should get it, even if you read one chapter and it involves Carol Channing and a monkey, please get this book. It's worth the price of admission.
He's just for that story.
It's the greatest chapter I think I've read on any celebrity autobiography. I was also, and I can't believe I never put this together, John, it was amazing to me when Ashton Kutcher replaced Charlie Sheen on 2 and a Half Men. It never occurred to me that you dated Demi Moore back when Ashton Kutcher was a little boy. You were dating Demi Moore, and now he's your co-star on this show. It must have been so awkward and uncomfortable.
It was. but, you know, well, the reason that it's been a secret all these years is I can't imagine Demi was hoping to shout it to the rooftops. No. I have a feeling she
wanted to date Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
I remember reading that somewhere. Yeah.
Forget Broderick.
it was a little strange because he and I, they, you know, if you recall, when Charlie Sheen was fired, they, you know, there was this big hullabaloo about whether the show would continue. And it was this big secret, you know, and we go in the book, I describe all the crazy machinations that were happening at that time. But getting Ashton in was considered this coup. And so there was this huge amount of pressure on he and I having comedic chemistry.
Yes.
And yet I didn't know if she'd ever told him that we used to date. So it was a very tense.
See, that's
meeting.
Awkward at a dinner party. That's ridiculous on the set of a TV show that's worth millions of dollars.
Yeah. How soon did it come up?
It came up after our first meeting, at the very end of the meeting, in retrospect, I'll bet he was enjoying how uncomfortable I was. Because he leaned out of his car as he was about to drive away and said, "Hey, she told me everything's cool."
I was like, waited to the last possible moment.
You
were tortured the whole
moment.
Time.
Yes.
That's some BS.
And I also didn't know how close it came to being Hugh Grant and not Ashton Kutcher for 2 and a Half Men.
Yeah.
How crazy would that have been?
He was actually signed to do the show.
Yeah,
for an hour and a half, he was going to be doing it.
Wow.
And then I got a call. Oh, nope, it's not going to happen.
He loves hookers, too.
Exactly. I swear, I think that was the impetus.
Is this sort of like – is writing this book sort of like therapy in that everything you went through with 2 and a Half Men and Charlie Sheen, for example, just that seems like it would traumatize most people. You're going back and sort of reliving it.
It was interesting because I part of why I wanted to write the book was because being in the middle of that – where this was a worldwide sort of cyclone of internet crap storm, being in the middle of that was fascinating and horrible. And also the most horrible thing about it was I genuinely care about Charlie Sheen and thought that the world was basically goading him to kill himself. You know, and that was really disturbing to live through.
He was getting too much praise for how out of control he was.
Exactly.
And
I felt like if people saw what was going on inside that, they might have understood that.
So they wouldn't be celebrating his acting in that way if we knew what was behind it?
Well, no, not celebrating his acting.
Celebrating
his acting out.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, because some people really, you know, he's their hero for doing what he did.
Right.
You know. But the reality of it was that he was a guy
with a
serious addiction who had been told, you can't do that anymore.
And you were genuinely hurt when he turned on you.
Well, of course, but my biggest worry at the time, again, was that the next day he'd be dead, you know.
Yeah,
and
right.
You know, all that was bad.
Are you guys cool now, John?
We're on speaking terms, certainly.
Did he text, read the book, love it?
No, he has not, which to me says he probably doesn't.
Or didn't.
I feel like he probably was not happy with it, but out of some respect for our relationship is not saying anything.
John, it was very fair and even-handed the way, even though it was from your perspective, I think it was very fair the way you handled it in the book. I really do.
Well, I think the world of the guy, you know, when he's sober, he's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, it didn't feel like you're going, that guy's bad. Yeah.
No.
He's so talented, too.
He is. He's a remarkable guy and a good, a deeply good guy. But he's decided that's not the way he wants his life right now. And, you know, I can't stop him.
Well, let me bring up one more thing for the book before we have to run out of time here with John Cryer. Again, the book is called So That Happened, and it's excellent. And that is, when Charlie Sheen started going crazy and did that first interview with Alex Jones where he came up with his 9/11 conspiracies, John heard about that driving to work, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, it's
in
true.
The book, he refers to us as the two morning DJs on K Rock. Now, John, what has killed you to remember our goddamn names after all these years?
I feel like you did the right thing.
What did it killed you to give the drummer sub? Come on, John.
More importantly, I did that during the showbiz.
Yeah,
meeting.
Ralph wasn't even true. That. It wasn't true. Even us. It was
oh,
Ralph.
Oh my gosh!
Get the hell out of here.
This is why I'm going to do a revision for the paperback.
Finally.
So you listened to that, and what were you thinking? You were just thinking, holy crap, my
yes.
world is just coming apart.
Because up to that moment, I had seen no sign that he just seemed like he had met this lovely lady, Brooke Mueller. Mm-hmm. Things were looking great for them. It seemed like the show was doing great guns, and seemed like everything was going marvelously for young Charlie Sheen. And then you guys got to bring me the news that he was a 9/11 truther, which was fascinating. So we had a wonderful argument in the makeup room that day.
Yeah, that was a fun conversation at work. Yeah, that's
yes,
for sure.
Big
All right. Last question, John, for reals now. Will you go back to television? Do you want to do another series? What do you want to do next?
Eventually. I'm just going to take some time for a while. I want to give America a chance to miss me.
Okay.
Delightful.
But my wife has pointed out that will be difficult because they're rerunning the show all over
really?
The place.
You can't miss
But I don't have to do anything, so I'm just going to wait for something fun and great.
Congratulations
good
on the book,
you.
Man. It's really, really good.
You
did a great job with it.
Did you read the audio version of the book as well?
I did read the audio version of the book, and
that's
it's awesome.
What I'm going to get, because I like to hear people in their own voice when they do these autobiographies, and I think that would be very entertaining for a man of your acting ability to bring your own story to life.
Thank you. I read it totally flat the whole way.
No, no.
You're
no,
like, this
I didn't
writer
do that.
Sucks.
I swear. I
can
did
only
not
do so
do
much.
You should have had Charlie Sheen read it. Now, that would have been entertaining.
Thanks, John.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Take it easy. You're a terrible person.
Oh, I'm so mad.
Well, the store doesn't mean store. Save
no,
means store.
Well, I didn't know it.
You
don't
hit a store
thing.
Button.
Right. Shut up.
So we had John Cryer in here, and he's talking about his book, and then she said, and then as he was leaving, Allie is like, okay, remember, and then when you point, and then you
she made him recreate a scene from Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink. At the end
right.
of the prom when
it doesn't
he
matter.
Smiles.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You set up the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you videotape it
on your phone.
I was going to put OMDs if you leave underneath.
Right. You're
going to
recreate it, and you were going to be Molly Ringwald to his ducky.
Well, I was going to be Christy Swanson, who
right,
was the blonde
right.
that he
right.
went, me?
But weren't
yeah.
you embarrassed to ask him
Absolutely.
To recreate a scene from his movie?
Absolutely.
But not
so
enough to stop you from doing it.
Now that it didn't record.
It didn't record.
Yeah, Def Tuba, you have never made more sense than now. Oh. I hate everything.
I have a video of you trying to take
no,
that video.
No, I don't. I hate you.
You asked for a mortifying favor.
I did.
And then you didn't even have the decency
Fail.
To have it record
it
on your phone.
It didn't
after
work.
You asked him to do that awkward, embarrassing
guys,
thing that he did for
he
you
did,
so graciously.
So nice
he's such
about
a good
it.
Guy.
Even as you all booed.
By the way, you deserve to be booed.
Yeah, in unison.
Okay.
It was nice. That was
this
a nice
is,
touch.
Act like you've been in this job before, Allie. That's what we're saying.
Good point.
All right. Poor John Cryer. I was mortified for him.
Or as I call him, poor TV actor. Because we were referred to as DJs.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Morning DJs. So he is now, I would be referring to him as TV actor.
That'll show him.
That'll
I
show
wasn't
him.
Wrong that it wouldn't have killed him to mention our show, right?
No, but are you serious? Because it doesn't really matter.
It seems like he went out of his way to not mention our show. That's
okay.
all I'm saying.
It's a strange thing.
Did
really...
you hear him talk about how we mocked his failure for years and years and years, and you want him to give you a shout-out in his book now that he's a success?
This was John's revenge. Is that what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, of course. That's all we deserve.
Hey, it's 9:43. We're almost here. Time for a final look at the show. It's been on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, lots going on.
Any of it that you would like to tell us
oh,
about?
Oh, you want me to talk about
mm-hmm.
it? Sure. Ariana Grande and Big Sean have broken up. Can you believe that? Official word is conflicting touring schedules tore them apart. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't stay together if both of you have careers.
Right. I'm just saying, one thing came between them. Right? You're with me on this one?
Yeah.
Not quite. I'm not quite tracking. What was the one thing?
Beeb.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Penis.
Did you see them sizzling on stage together?
Stop saying sizzling.
Sizzled.
Stop
they
saying
sizzled.
Stop saying
Ariana
that.
Grande was on stage, and Bieber came out to duet, and while they were duetting, sizzled.
There's no sizzle
the two
involved.
Of them
you can't use Bieber and sizzle
they
together in the same sentence.
Sizzled. There was sizzling and scissoring.
No. It's not that.
That you can use.
And sizzling. They sizzled. I'm telling you, we're going to see it. There's going to be a mention. You heard it here first. Those little cat ears are going to be on his bedpost. And she's pretty attractive, that Ariana Grande.
I think so, too.
What is she, 8?
I think she's
12.
18, maybe?
Really?
18, 19.
All right. Game on. Bruce Jenner does his tell-all interview with Diane Sawyer this Friday. It's going to be on 2020 at 9 o'clock. If you're so inclined to tune in, I bet it gets big ratings. Bruce says his whole life has been leading him up to this transition. I don't know. I just wish, I guess there's no way a person of his fame could possibly do this in a quiet, dignified manner. But the tell-all interview and then the series on E, it'll be documenting it all. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
But I certainly wish him success. But like I said, there's no way, I guess, right? You could do that quietly?
Well, he certainly could have. I mean, he certainly could have found a doctor who would have done it without publicity.
Well, I mean, you can't hide the fact now you're a woman. If you're Bruce Jenner, the next time you show up at an event and you're wearing a cocktail dress and pearls, someone's going to notice, right?
So he just figures, might as well make money off of it.
Yeah, might as well be out there, right? While we're here with TV actor earlier, we should have asked him about Demi Moore's apartment in Central Park that she's selling.
Yes, we should have.
Maybe he's interested in purchasing it.
He's the only person that I know that could.
That's right. Demi Moore is selling her apartment on Central Park West. Apparently she is leaving New York City. And it can be all yours if you've got a spare $75 million floating around.
$75,000, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant $75 million.
That's unbelievable for a place to live.
It is a triplex apartment on the 26th, 27th, and 28th floors of the building in which she lives. And
what do you do with that much space?
Well, maybe that's why she's selling it. She doesn't want to knock around there anymore.
I wonder what the square footage is of 3 floors of that building in New York. I mean, you think we're talking about could it be like a 10,000 square foot house?
I don't know if she has all 3 floors, because sometimes what they'll do is they'll just knock through the ceiling of the apartment above.
Oh, I see.
And so you get like 3 floors of a single family dwelling.
Oh, right,
you know?
Right.
But still, because of the location.
And the cost, I assume because it's $75 million, she had the whole floor.
That's what real estate's going for in the city of New York, by the way. So.
That's a lot of money to spend on a home with no yard, by the way.
Yeah, really. What do you do with your dog? Just dangle him out the window? Just have him just poop on people down below?
Probably not.
Probably not.
That would be a good plan.
People would probably frown on that.
But they wouldn't be able to see who it was.
That's right. It's raining poop!
People Hallelujah.
Be freaking out. Like, be like Christine. Hey, there's poop coming down everywhere. Why is there poop landing on me? You act like Christine everywhere. Today's celebrity birthdays. Queen Elizabeth II of the England.
Right.
She is 89 years old today. Singer Iggy Pop turns 68. Tony Danza, 64 years old today. Robert Smith of The Cure fame is 56. Rob Riggle, 45 years old today. James McAvoy turns 36. Robbie Amell, you know him from Flash, plays Firestorm on that show. He is 27 years old. And the voice of the LA Clippers, Ralph Lawler, is celebrating his 77th birthday today as his team is in the playoffs. Kevin?
Stop looking at me.
I'm just saying. Lakers, Kings, oof. Bad time to be Kevin. Of course, then when would a good time to be Kevin be, really, when you think about it? You got to go see Paul Blart, too. It's a bad deal all the way around.
I didn't think you'd like it.
I would not, sir.
I think you would enjoy it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, William Shatner will be on the program.
Kevin's buying a table for my charity.
We also have John Marshall, who is coming out with this movie called Roar.
Oh, I can't wait to see this. Although I don't know if I've got the stomach for it. It looks terrifying.
What's it called?
It's called Roar.
Roar.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is a... Ralph, you know about this.
I do know about this. Tippi Hedren.
That's right. She had dozens of lions that lived openly with people, and they made a movie about it.
Right.
And 70 different people were attacked by lions during the course of this movie being made.
No animals were harmed during the making of the film, but 70 people were.
You think like at like 59 or 60, they'd go, hey, you know what? A lot of people are getting hurt.
Let's call it a day. What do you say?
It's a bad idea.
Let's wrap.
Let's just use what we have.
59 or 60.
I'm saying at some point.
I'll tell you, when we hit 70, I am stopping I am out. Production on this film. What it's we got? What's the count? 67. All right.
We're good.
Good for three more.
It is a lost classic from the 70s that has been rediscovered and will be re-released, and John Marshall is one of the actors who lived it to tell about it, so he'll be on tomorrow morning's show. Can't wait for that.
Plus, Mumford & Sons in the first five rows. Tomorrow morning we have row three. We'll see you then.